and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes. Everybody's going to vote tomorrow, and I hope that's everybody. Come on, you guys, progressives, liberals, people who are still in doubt. How can you be? Oh, my God, I'm going crazy, Riley.
I'm going crazy.
I'm going crazy. I can't handle the suspense. I'm going nuts. It's a weird mixture of suspense and fear. Like, you know, because I'm such a conspiratorial whack job, and that I think that, like, something has to happen. There's some crazy crap that's going to happen. It's going to throw everything out of whack. So, like, there's a countdown to the election, and then there's a countdown in my head to the really bad thing that's going to happen. And God forbid it does. I hope it won't, but time is getting tight. The Bin Laden video didn't work to do anything in my mind but solidify the case against Bush.
Oh, I got plenty to say about him, but you know what the big thing that's going to shake everything up is, don't you?
What?
It's going to happen before 9 o'clock this morning.
What?
On this show.
Well,
yeah.
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton. And not William from Chappaqua, not Bill from Harlem, the former and 42nd president of the United States.
Yes, and you know, I know that you guys all have a lot of questions you want us to ask him, but we got 5 minutes, man. We gotta, you know, we've really gotta focus it. You know, there's a blog. I read the blog before I got on, but now I'm turning it off, so don't start talking to me. I read it before we got it. It's like, ask him why he didn't pardon Peltier. I'm like, you know, I'm not sure we're going to get to that one. I have to be honest with you. In the political climate we're in right now and the amount of time we have with him, I can't get to all progressive niche causes with the president, the ex-president, you know, right off the bat.
Call him back Wednesday.
Yeah, and then there's people that, you know,
at 5 when we're on early.
Why isn't Kerry on the show? Good question. We have no idea. We have no idea, but you know what? It's not going to stop me from rallying a little bit this morning. I was in San Francisco. A lot of new listeners to Air America came out. It was great. We had a good show. We had a good time. What's that?
Vincent!
Yes. Well, yeah, oh, yeah. This cat came up to me, and he's like, he's an ex-New Yorker. He's out there doing some work, and he loves me and Riley, and he gave us his Charles Erwin CD, and he said, you're intense, man. This is called Intensity. I want you to have this. We'll maybe play a little bit of that later. And there was some weird stuff that went on there. But before I get off on my own personal life, I really, when I was in San Francisco, I had some realizations on stage that if you're still sitting around saying, you know, Kerry, I don't know, he really hasn't connected with me on an emotional level. It's not his job to, he's not running for your father. He's running for president of the United States. He is the Democratic nominee. He's not there to fill some void in your life or to make you feel like, you know, you are going to, be in love with him. You know, he's our candidate and we have to vote for our candidate. Everyone has to vote for our candidate who believes in the democratic process.
I have a question for those people who say, well, Kerry didn't connect with me.
Mm.
Did Osama connect with you?
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
That's a real question here.
Okay.
Here is a guy who we thought was living in a cave somewhere, and it looked like he was, you know, like he was at the ESPN zone here in Midtown Manhattan doing a show.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out that tape, but I tell you, you know, to watch TV and, you know, to see the President of the United States saying, you know, we're not going to relent. We're going to search them out wherever they are. We're going to kill them. There's no place to run, no place to hide. And then, like, you know, the next story, there's a new Bin Laden video. So it cuts literally from George Bush saying, we're going to get him, to Bin Laden. I'm like, but wait, he's right there. He's on the same show as you. He's right on the same show as you, and you didn't...
You didn't get him. Let me tell you something.
3 years.
The intelligence community, all right, there's an article in one of the print media today that talks about the intelligence community. And their reaction, after thinking that they were very close to getting Bin Laden, according to this report, and then seeing him on television, it, like, blew them away.
Did it?
Yeah. It was like, wait a minute. We thought we were two people away from getting this guy, and here he is, and he's not dirty. His clothes look clean. He looked good. He looked like he was, hadn't missed any meals. Nothing.
Some people think he's in China. But I couldn't understand the tape because it was a lot more diplomatic in tone than other Bin Laden tapes. And when he was saying, you know, you, the American people, I talked to you today about the best way to avoid another catastrophe and about war, its reasons and its consequences. And in that regard, I say to you that security is an important pillar of human life and that free people do not compromise their security. And then he goes on to say that, you know, it's up to us. And then I finally realized... he's running for president of the United States.
It seems like it, doesn't it?
I mean, I couldn't believe that. What do you make of this message? Because I think, in my mind, any time that he's on television alive, it indicates that Bush is failing in the war on terror, that, you know, he didn't take the opportunities he could have when he was in Afghanistan to really, you know, solve this problem. I don't know how anyone else could see it any differently. 3 years later, the guy who is guilty of killing 3,000 Americans on our own turf, you know, is there on TV next to the president.
And who admitted, yeah, I did it. Yeah, we thought about it. Yeah, he actually sat there and explained the thought processes that led to the World Trade Center attacks.
Now, right.
You're right. Number one, it shows the complete impotence of the Bush administration and the intelligence community that they have been doing the supposed full court press to find the guy, and here he is. Number two, and this is important, there is going to be an attack somewhere on this planet not long after America goes after Fallujah. That's what I got from Bin Laden's tape, and I don't even know if he knew Fallujah is a target yet. I don't know when he made that tape, so it's possible that he made it before they made the decision that Fallujah's first on their list after the election.
So that's your speculation. That's your journalistic.
That is my pure speculation that if Fallujah is attacked and large numbers of Iraqi women and children are killed, which will happen if they bomb like they say they're gonna.
Yeah.
Then Al Qaeda will react either here or against American interests somewhere in the region.
And the other thing that killed me was that, you know, immediately after the tape, you know, the spin machine, you know, went into high, you know,
overdrive.
Overdrive. Like, I saw Laura Ingraham on TV, and I've never seen her before, and I've never been repelled by
a
woman more. I've never been more angry. I was yelling at the TV set. I was using the C word out loud. I was screaming. I am so tired of yelling at my TV set. I want this to be over. I am exhausted with just the amount of energy that goes into me yelling at my television set. You know, and I'm screaming the C word at the top of my lungs in my hotel room by myself. You know, the hotel people sent someone up. There's a knock on the door, and they're like, "Is everything okay, sir?" And I'm like,
they really knocked on your door?
And I'm like, well, no, Laura Ingraham's on TV. And they're like, "Oh, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. You're right. Go ahead." You know, but the thing is that the way that they were trying to characterize Kerry as being insensitive by saying that, you know, that bringing it up again, that George Bush and his administration and his Pentagon, you know, missed the opportunity to take Osama bin Laden out at Tora Bora, right?
Yes.
And that, you know, he was politicizing it, you know, immediately. There's no politicizing Osama bin Laden. This is a political issue, and it has been since the beginning. And for the audacity of this administration during their campaign, these are people that would have run, you know, would have kicked Cheney out if they could run with Reagan's corpse. And also, you know, they are an administration that has politicized the deaths, the tragic, horrible, you know, massacre of Americans, you know, civilians in the World Trade Center to their political, you know, advantage. And, you know, they're shameless in being a death cult. They base their campaign on death and potential death and fear. And they come out with the audacity for John Kerry, you know, accusing him of politicizing something where he makes the natural point that any thinking person would. This is an indication that of this president's failure to really fulfill his job in the war on terror.
Ask yourself a very simple question, folks. If we were not spending the money that we are on Iraq, could we not have spent at least some of that money apprehending Osama bin Laden? The fact of the matter is that the reason why that bin Laden is able to do a videotape and send it to people, and we ought to get into exactly how that takes place, but the bottom line is the reason why is because money was diverted from Afghanistan, diverted from the search for bin Laden to fight the war in Iraq. And people need to never lose sight of the fact that the dollars that are going into the retaking of Fallujah could very well have gone into the taking of Osama bin Laden, but they're not.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, you know, they keep saying that 75% of the managerial staff or the leaders of Al-Qaeda have been killed or incarcerated, and that doesn't make a difference in the way that that network works. We'll talk to Peter Bergen, who's going to be on the show as well, one of my favorite guests, who's the author of Holy War Incorporated, and he has actually interviewed bin Laden to look into this with us. I also am going to ask, you know, President Bill Clinton about, you know, his reaction to the new bin Laden tape, among other things. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about Iraq when we come back in just a minute. Good morning. Thank you, San Francisco, for coming out the other night. It was great seeing you, and I'll talk to you in a second. It's 15 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Check check out all our favorite links, our latest blog entries, and our new line of merchandise at MorningsEdition.com.
Planet Check.
It's the 2004 Broward Youth Awards for Outstanding Environmental Leadership. Eugene Pearson spearheaded the Student Council to turn the tables on rising college fees by requiring that their money be spent to green the University of Colorado.
We decided we wanted to incorporate green building standards and sustainable design into these buildings.
Four buildings will be constructed on campus.
In the short term, these buildings might cost a little more money, but the long-term benefits for the health and welfare of not only the population of CU Boulder, but the environment of the planet far outweighs that initial cost increment.
Under the agreement, all new buildings must run on 100% renewable energy, making CU Boulder's green building standards the strongest of any university in the country.
We've always had a very strong commitment to the environment.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
In 1994, director David O. Russell made Three Kings, a groundbreaking film about the first Gulf War. In 2004, Russell made A Soldier's Pay, an eye-opening documentary about the current war in Iraq. Studios and distributors were afraid to release it, and no one had the guts to get it out to the public. Until now. Tonight, IFC, the independent film channel, presents the world premiere of A Soldier's Pay, the documentary that the powers that be didn't want you to see. Tonight, starting at 8 p.m., it's an Election Eve marathon on IFC, the world premiere of David O. Russell's controversial new film, A Soldier's Pay, and The War Room, the classic documentary about Bill Clinton's 1992 campaign. A Soldier's Pay and The War Room, uninterrupted and commercial-free all night. Tonight, starting at 8 p.m., only on IFC, the independent film channel. Don't have IFC? Go to ifctv.com and get it.
It's coming down to the wire. We're just days away from completing our quest for a better America. Join us for live extended coverage on election night with the team from Sirius Left 143, Air America Radio 144, and Sirius LQ 149. All the election returns, correspondents from around the country,
and your phone calls
all night long. It's your election coverage your way.
Sirius. Entertainment that transforms your ride.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference, too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad.
Where do you go?
When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Where do you go? Where are you?
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks. That's a good one. And we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body. It's like people need to know the truth and know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. Me personally, I wanted the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on. This has been Nate Sally with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Serious. When it comes to food safety, experts stress that cold temperatures will keep harmful bacteria from growing or multiplying on food. Remember the 2-hour rule. Refrigerate or freeze perishables as soon as possible. And don't let food sit out at room temperature for more than 2 hours. Refrigerating foods quickly is one way you can give bacteria the cold shoulder. Brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
Honestly, not everything can be convenient, but Radio Shack is. With over 7,000 stores, there's probably one in your neighborhood where you'll find the helpful service you want, plus the latest electronics, accessories, wireless phones, and gift ideas. So even though we'd all like a little more convenience...
Yeah, I'm here to take your driver's license photo.
It's nice to know Radio Shack really offers it. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
Past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition. It's the day before Election Day. Please go out and vote. Please. Please stop waiting to make a decision. Well, you can wait until you get into the booth, but then make the right one for yourself and for the country. You know, I want to go out of my way to talk about also that in, you know, Bin Laden's statement, he went out of his way to say that George Bush was more interested in listening to the child story about the goat rather than worry about what was happening to the towers. So we had three times the time necessary to accomplish the events. And I would imagine on some level that was just, you know, one part of a list of you know, gratitude that these terrorists probably feel to this president, given that, you know, he could have killed them. And given that, you know, they went into Iraq and they destabilized that region, making it a literal, you know, sort of festering hive of terrorist activity. They gave up the opportunities, three of them. They had three plans in place to take Zarqawi out, and they stopped it. They did not go through with any of them in order to make sure that there was a terrorist connection between Iraq and Al-Qaeda that didn't exist previous to that. A lot of conservatives or Republicans, there's starting to be a difference between the two. The Republican, the new Republican, the neocon Republican, the right of the party is now as fanatical as a religious movement. I had a fight with one of them that almost got into a physical fight the other night at Cobb's, which I'll go into later. But
my money's on you, Mary.
The guy was a little older than me. But
that's why my money's on you, Mary.
Yeah, but no, it just became a yelling match. But you know, there's this idea that you know, they constantly say, you know, their newest in defense, this really devious way that they go about arguing now is like, you know, to justify the invasion of Iraq, they say, you know, Saddam Hussein, you know, killed his own people. You know, and it's like, you know, so what? Osama bin Laden killed 3,000 of ours. Mm-hmm. You know, where is that priority? You know what I mean? They now spin it that, like, you know, we're helping the Iraqi people. And the truth of the matter is, when it comes in relationship to the Kurds, you know, we asked them to fight for us. You know, and then
stood by while they got gas.
Right, and stepped aside. You know, so like, the way they spin things is completely impractical and not based in facts. And the guy I had the argument with, the guy who was spitting in my face, was the husband or boyfriend of a columnist that was on a panel with us. This woman, Deborah Saunders, who's a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, who was on this panel with us. You know, and when I talk about...
Was he hitting the sauce or something?
No. When I do comedy, I use filthy language, and I don't mind that. I'm very pro-filth. I like filth. I like using it for emphasis. I like to be crass. It's my prerogative as a comic. I can't do it on the radio, so it builds up. You know what I'm saying, Riley? So we're on the panel. I guess I'm going to talk about this now. But, you know, we're on the panel, and I didn't even say the worst stuff that could have been said to his wife or his girlfriend or whoever she is, his significant other. You know, one of the other comics said, yeah, I'd like to see you beheaded, you know. And this was a liberal audience, and she had a lot of courage to sit there and say that she would do this. But I just said, you know, why are you going to vote for George Bush? And this is a columnist. This is somebody who writes 3 days a week in a newspaper. You expect a little sort of, you know, articulated opinion, not just talking points. But she said, you know, he'd be better in the war on terror than John Kerry. John Kerry voted against war. I'm like, why even, you know, I can hear that anytime. I can hear that any Republican that opens their mouth anywhere says the talking points. You know, I got sort of impatient with her, but I was not crass to her, you know, and for some reason, and then some woman stood up in the room. As a woman, she says, you know, how can you support a president who has killed, now it's probably 100,000 women and children, as a woman. And her first response was, well, I don't think that number is right. I think, and then some guy's like, well, would it be better if we're 50,000? Would that be a more acceptable number? It was pretty intense. But for some reason, her man got in my face after. Like, I'm standing backstage, and he comes up to me. You know, after a show, you're sort of expecting people to come up and go, hey, good show. But no, this guy gets right in my face. Like, you don't know what you're talking about, and you're filthy. You're filthy, and you don't know what you're talking about. You know that Saddam Hussein killed thousands of his own people. I said, I don't care. Osama bin Laden killed 3,000 of ours. Where's that priority? Why is he on television with the president? You know, and then it went back and forth. There was some heavy language.
Well, what was his answer to that, by the way?
He didn't have an answer. He just started calling me, you know, all these. He started cussing at me. I started cussing at him.
See, here's the thing that a lot of people are missing.
Furious. I mean, there's a rage, Riley.
I know. There's a rage because they feel this thing slipping away from them. And part of the reason why it's slipping away from them is that more and more people in America are beginning to understand that George W. Bush equals endless war. And what we saw from Osama bin Laden was essentially this. If you want endless war, we'll give you endless war. Now, aside from the question of whether or not you can catch this guy, the question of whether or not America wants to be engaged in an endless war is something that people are going to have to think about when they go in that booth.
Did I hit you to my theory about that, the reason why these 377 tons of
tell me this.
They slipped out? Yeah, I think I tried to get into it the other day, but I don't think it fully formulated until this weekend, that there's a lot of missing munitions. Now, first of all, Krugman and also Russ Baker, who did the interview with Mickey Herskowitz, who was the original ghostwriter for A Pride to Keep. Is that what it's called?
Promise to Keep? Something.
A Charge to Keep. But was fired and now says that, Bush probably went into Iraq just because he thought he could get it done with quickly, and that it would make him look like a commander-in-chief. But the idea is that strategically they never thought there were weapons of mass destruction there, because if they did strategically, they would have secured all the munitions and the nuclear plants, as you said last week. But I think it's more devious than that. They let the insurgents have these weapons to continue this war, this never-ending war, which would then funnel all of the government's money into military contracts, thus breaking the United States, all right, forcing all social programs into privatization, because there's no money to support them at all, because we're using it all for the war.
And leaving no option for kids who don't want to go to college.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that the disparity between rich and poor will increase, and eventually it'll get to a point where an army advertisement will start with just a guy saying, hungry?
Need a place to sleep?
Three square meals?
Three squats and a cot?
But that I think that what you're saying also is in support of that they'll have no choice, right?
They will have no choice because there won't be anything else out here for them. This is already true in some parts of the country, although people aren't saying it. Okay?
Yeah.
Because in one part of the country, it's housing projects, and in the other part of the country, it's trailer parks, and people figure that poor black people and poor white people don't have anything in common. So they don't talk about the commonality of having so few options that military service and going over to Iraq and being deployed and being told you're going to be there for 10 months and suddenly finding out there's about 6,500 of our troops are finding out now.
Let's talk about that after.
That's right.
We'll go into that story that they're extending. What's up? Who's in there?
Ray Ray.
Oh, good. All right.
Ray Ray's on. Right. Whoa.
Okay, good.
Ray Ray.
And we'll talk about the extended duty after this on Air America Radio.
Air America fans, there's a magazine you need to read. Mother Jones, your best source for no-holds-barred investigative journalism. This week, Mother Jones is offering a crazy initial subscription price of just $10 a year. Go to MotherJones.com today to subscribe and get Mojo's eye-popping new issue. Read about how U.S. soldiers are speaking out against the war in Iraq, plus how America employs thousands of likely war criminals to do our dirty work in Iraq. Just $10 for a full year at MotherJones.com.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But Barron's, America's premier financial weekly, can help you make money whichever way the market moves. Now you can get 13 weeks of Barron's plus the valuable guide to building wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now 800-858-5800. That's 800-858-5800 for Barron's.
Serious. Master, I seek wisdom.
Ah, Grasshopper, it is not wisdom you seek, for you have already found that which enlightens the mind.
No, I mean the number.
The number is infinite, my son. You have found Sirius. You have awoken your dormant spirit to the joy of satellite radio.
I'm just looking for wisdom.
Look no further, Grasshopper.
Wisdom radio on Sirius,
Oh. 132.
That'll do it.
Mind.
Body. Spirit.
Earth. Serious.
Wisdom Radio.
132.
Hello,
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Supercar. Move over, Spider-Man and Catwoman, because when we come back, I'll tell you about an automobile that'll defy gravity.
In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark.
George Jetson's transportation may not be all that far out or far off. Moeller International has developed and tested a personal vertical takeoff and landing vehicle aptly named SkyCar. SkyCar cruises comfortably at 350 miles per hour and squeezes up to 28 miles per gallon. With GPS and monitoring systems, it follows a prescribed course and rockets passengers from their garage to wherever their final destination might be with minimal automotive interaction and no stoplights, so passengers can sit back and enjoy the ride. Speaking of which, gotta fly. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Alcohol. It's a tough topic for parents and kids to talk about. Sometimes you'd rather say nothing, but that's no solution. If you're a parent, talk to your children about alcohol and what you expect of them. Then listen to what they have to say. And be sure to use alcohol responsibly yourself. Good parenting is the best defense against underage drinking. Use it. To find out more, contact the National Clearinghouse for Alcohol and Drug Information at 800-729-6686.
When was the last time you tested your smoke alarms? Last month? Last year? Can't remember? If you're not sure your smoke alarms are working, then how can you be sure you'll be protected if a fire breaks out? Don't gamble with your life and assume your smoke alarms are working. Test each one every month so you know they'll be ready to protect you and your family if there's a fire. Test your alarms for life.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
I got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
They're in your bathroom cabinet, under the kitchen sink, in your garage. They're ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. What these kids don't know is that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. Know where they're going, who they're with, and what they're doing. If you know what your kids are up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. The anti-drug.
Past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. John Firetruck Carey coming on strong.
Can I take a morning to New Haven, Connecticut?
Yeah, good morning, New Haven, Connecticut. Welcome to the great umbrella of Air America Radio.
That's right. Underneath. Progressive Talk Radio, 1300 AM, The Voice.
And right now, Ramon was... Ray, and the Kerry mask was a nice touch this morning.
Sure.
Here's the presidential Palm Pilot for this morning. This is the president's schedule, 6:30 a.m. Wake up, stay on message. Fear, terror, flip-flop, secure, good job, secure, terror, flip, terror, flop, secure, help me, Jesus, I'm drowning. 7:30 a.m., speak at rally, ABX Air Hangar, Wilmington, Ohio. Note, one last time in the flight suit with the Top Gun music, just like the good old days. 9:30 a.m., speak at rally, Burgettstown, Pennsylvania. Note, say, you know what I told my staff? On the last day of the campaign, you make sure I'm in Burgettstown. 11:30 a.m., speak at rally, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Note, say, today I'm coming to America's beer capital for business, but I'll be back on Thursday for pleasure. 2 p.m., speak at rally, Iowa State Fairgrounds, Des Moines, Iowa. Award blue ribbon to farmer who carved my entire administration in pumpkins. 4:10 p.m., speak at rally, Sioux City, Iowa. Say, you know what I told my staff? On the last day of the campaign, you make sure I'm in Sioux City. Yes. 6:30 p.m., speak at rally, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Note, tell them, God speaks to me, usually in Spanish. 10:10 p.m., speak at rally, Dallas, Texas. Note, wait for 20-minute ovation to die down. Say, I'm good, he's bad, stay scared, I'll protect you. Hook 'em horns. If you need me, I'll be at the ranch. Bye. Then go to the ranch. 11:30 p.m., bedtime in Crawford. Think happy thought. No matter who wins, in 48 hours, I'm done working. So let's get into this, because, you know, this is always a topic of the campaign, that that the United States, the Pentagon, has extended duty in Iraq for 6,500 troops.
Yep. 3,500 from the 2nd Brigade, 1st Cavalry Division, 3,000 from the 1st Infantry Division headquarters. We'll be staying 2 months longer than planned. There are approximately 135,000 troops in the country. Soldiers of the 3rd Infantry Division, which were scheduled to replace the 2nd Brigade 1st Cavalry, will not be delayed. If possible, the 3rd Infantry could accelerate its deployment if commanders say that it's necessary, but no decision has been made, which means it will be necessary by the time the decision is made.
And it's been very hairy there the last few days. It's been really hairy. I mean,
yes.
Eight
U.S. Marines killed, I believe, on Saturday.
Mm.
A number of other suicide bombings. Again, more violence, more insurgency. And you have people who ordinarily you would say are not, you know, rabid Kerry support, people like Colin Powell, for example, saying that the insurgency is gaining steam.
Yeah.
And that this war in Iraq is going to last. The deployments are a prime example of that.
Yeah, and Lord knows they have weapons that they were just able to walk in and pick up at whatever open warehouse just happened to be around. Any munitions bunker left unsecured, which is most of them, they can just go in and, you know, take a choice of what weapons they want and throw it in the truck and go.
Was it Borzu or Mick Ware? It was somebody we talked to on the ground in Baghdad who told us you can buy a rocket, a grenade launcher on the street for $250
Yeah,
US.
And if you have a computer, you can always go on eBay.
Yeah, go shopping for it.
Just go under munitions. You know, there's a whole department there. I'm kidding. Don't go there. Don't go there. And also, tragically, a gunman killed the deputy governor of Baghdad on his way to work on Monday, Iraqi's officials said. It's really sort of out of control and horrifying. And, you know, after we talked to people like Borzu, we talked to people like Mick Ware, we talked to people like Peter Bergen, even talking to, you know, somebody like Paul Krugman last week, that, you know, the scariest thing to me, outside of the fact that they lied to get us into this war and they stopped, you know, taking the action they needed to take in Afghanistan, was that it becomes clear, if you look at it strategically, that they weren't looking for weapons. There's a really good chance that they really thought they could go in there and inside a couple weeks take this country down, bolster his poll numbers, and make him a war president, and that would be it. And it is strategically, as you said last week, and as Russ Baker, who we talked to, who wrote the article on Guerrilla News Network about Mickey Herskovitz, the original ghostwriter of
Bush's autobiography,
A Charge to Keep.
Yeah.
That, you know, the assumption is that was never the reason, and they knew they were lying from the beginning because strategically they didn't secure any of the munitions or the nuclear power plants.
It doesn't make a bit of sense. You know, Mark, I'm one of those people that watches those old World War II shows all the time. They got about 12 Discovery channels on cable that do nothing but go over World War II.
Right.
Well, the first thing you see, whether it's the Battle of Britain or after the Americans got involved, what's the first thing people do? They go after weapons depots. They go after places where explosives are stored, because that cripples the enemy's ability to fight.
Right.
Okay. I hope I'm not, you know, saying something that people don't understand. When you engage an enemy, you want to destroy the enemy's ability. Will is a separate issue, but you want to destroy his ability to fight you. That means that you go in and you either destroy and or secure as many weapons as is humanly possible. This place, Al-Qaqar, had 1,000 buildings that the International Atomic Energy Agency knew and certified to the United States that there were weapons and explosives there.
Yeah.
For any group of military people, and see, this is the shame of what Rudy Giuliani said. For a group of military people to have been sent to that area and not be told that these weapons were there or that they should be looking for weapons. Because I'm not putting this on the military guys. I'm not. I'm not putting this on soldiers. I'm not saying, did they search carefully enough? If they weren't told, how could they have searched carefully?
Right, and
that's
also
absurd.
You don't put it on the guys in the, you know, on the ground. You put it in the commanders. Like, that's what they're trying to blame Kerry again for, you know, disrespecting the troops, which is just ridiculous. You have to be able to take the military to task, but you don't take the guys on the ground to task. You take the guys who are commanding the military to task. You take the commander-in-chief to task, you know, and they constantly try to spin it that, you know, Kerry doesn't support the troops, which is...
That's a load of crap.
It's just ridiculous.
You don't...
It's just ridiculous.
You don't support the troops by sending them into an area with explosives and making it a way station on their way to Baghdad. That is not supporting the troops, because what happens is, as has happened here, people go in, they loot the weapons, and they use them against those same troops.
Yeah, and it's just like, if my theory holds any water at all, which is that, you know, this administration, if they're elected for another 4 years, are going to try and bankrupt this country. Their idea of how the economy is going to grow and they're going to build new jobs is by privatizing all social programs and privatizing, you know, everything that the government, you know, should, you know, accommodate on some level. You know, there are liberal causes, obviously, that, you know, need to be promoted by the government and within the government. You know, that's the way this is supposed to work. If somebody is, you know, can't help themselves on some level, they are, you know, afforded the assistance on, you know, in some ways by the government. It's a decent thing to do.
There are people who want to run this government, and Bush has many of them already in government, who want nothing more than to go back to the New Deal, which, remember, was the beginning of Social Security in this country, to go back to the 1930s and systematically destroy each and every government social program that has been created since the 1930s, which is now almost three quarters of a century.
Yeah.
Everything from Social Security to Head Start to student loans and Pell Grants, all of these different programs represent, to some conservatives, things that should not be given to people.
Well, basically, they're saying is the poor should be able to adapt.
Yeah.
I mean, they're tough. They can adapt to whatever, you know, we throw at them. And if some of them die, you know, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
You know, they're poor people. They're going to die, and they're going to keep, you know, there's always going to be poor people. They're just going to be much poorer now.
And if we have to have stuff like Social Security, we got to figure out how to make sure our people can make the most money for it. How do you do that? You do it by making sure that if you privatize it, the bankers and the fund managers and all these other guys will be the bloodsuckers that get rich off it.
That's right. And Kerry's got a different plan. How about science, innovation, you know, giving people hope again, trying to build creative new economic possibilities. You know, I heard him speak in New Hampshire. It was beautiful. We're going to get into the campaign a little bit after this and some other stuff. We've got Peter Bergen. We've got the president in the next couple hours. We've got Howard Dean. It's going to be a great morning. It's 43 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio.
Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
You peck up. It knows no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
That's right. Yippee! I'll see.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to the website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common?
Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who have reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 800-921-BURN, and you could try Cortislim risk-free for 30 days. All you pay is shipping and handling. Call 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
Serious.
Master, I seek wisdom.
Ah, grasshopper. It is not wisdom you seek, for you have already found that which enlightens the mind.
I mean the number.
The number is infinite, my son. You have found Sirius. You have awoken your dormant spirit to the joy of satellite radio.
I'm just looking for wisdom.
Look no further, grasshopper. For
no, wisdom radio on Sirius, you know.
Oh. 132.
I'll do it.
Mind.
Body. Spirit.
Earth. Sirius.
Wisdom Radio.
132.
A pop quiz for parents with second grade teacher Mrs. Ridge.
Today's quiz will be a multiple choice. Number one, the last time I watched TV was A, last night, B, last week, or C, last month. Number two, the last time I saw a movie was A, last night, B, last week, or C, last month. Number three, the last time I watched pro sports was A, last night, B, last week, or C, last month. And one more question, pass or fail. The last time I visited my child's school was A, last night, B, last week, C, last month, or D, none of the above.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Hi, I'm Edward James Olmos. I'm here to talk to you about RAD, Recording Artists, Actors, and Athletes Against Drunk Driving. Think about it. You have choices that you can make in your life. Good choices and bad ones. Drinking and driving, bad choice. Why? The life you may take may even be your own. Think about it. Drinking and driving doesn't mix. Get a designated driver.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hey, kid. Are you in the car with your parents right now? Have they ever asked you about the drug ecstasy? Probably not, right? They still think parties are all about getting drunk. Or that drugs are something only bad kids would do. Hey, they never asked. They'll never know the E is used by good kids, just like you. They'll never know about those bottles in your bedroom that look like vitamins, or that glow stick jewelry. They'll never know that E can cause seizures, strokes, heart attacks, or death. Even the first time you use it. Yeah, you sure got them fooled, all right.
Ask your kids about E right now. Then go to askyourkidsabouti.com.
Floods and flash floods can strike almost anywhere. Many people don't know that the severe damage to homes and property caused by floodwaters is not covered by homeowners insurance. Protect yourself and your family from catastrophic financial loss due to flood damage. Learn more about the National Flood Insurance Program by calling 1-800-427-4661. 1-800-427-4661. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Wake-up call. That flag doesn't belong to any president. It doesn't belong to any ideology. It doesn't belong to any party. It belongs to all the American people.
It's not enough, my brother, to say that you have faith when there are no deeds. I am running for president because it's time to turn words into deeds and faith into action. See jobs, that need to be created.
I see families that need to be housed.
I see violence that needs to be stopped.
I see children that need to be taught.
And children who need to be cared for.
You don't value families by kicking kids out of after-school programs and taking cops off the streets. We believe in the family value of caring for our children and protecting the neighborhoods where they walk and they play.
We have an important message for those who question the patriotism of Americans who offer a better direction for our country. Before wrapping themselves in the flag and shutting their eyes to the truth, they should remember that when Americans stand up and say America can do better, it is the heart and soul of patriotism.
Good morning. It's 50 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition. We're getting a little Kerry buzz.
Yeah.
Why not? He's our guy. He's the Democratic nominee for President of the United States. He is the candidate. Do not expect him to be your father. Do not wait for him to make you feel like you love him. You know what I mean? It's not necessary. He's the right guy. This is the right time. Don't vote for Nader. Minnesota, come on. Isn't Al Franken having any effect on you whatsoever? Please. He had a lot of good ideas. Seatbelts, airbags, you know, a lot of it, you know, and a lot of what he stands for is good stuff. And hopefully we can integrate that into, you know, the government that, you know, comes next with
comes
John
next,
Kerry.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, not this year, man. Not this year. I mean, it's not true to think that these guys are cut from the same cloth, that they're the same person. It's just not true. It's the difference between, you know, David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar from that email I read last week. I mean, yeah, the lead singer matters, you know, and culturally it matters. We can't let these bullies stay on top of us for another year. These lying, this neocon death cult, these, you know, whack job, extreme Christian idealists. It's not even idealism. It's a cult. I mean, you know, and I'm not saying that about all Christians. I know that every time I open my mouth and mention the word Christian, that somehow or another I'm insulting somebody. But you have to realize that there is a certain tone of religious fanaticism that's inherent in this president, and it's allowed in the administration. These guys are, you know, Christo-fascists. They're, you know, gunning for a theocracy. John Ashcroft is you know, part of the spearheading that movement. And it's frightening. It's frightening, especially with, you know, so many of the Supreme Court justices ailing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Rick was just got out of the hospital over the weekend, but I don't know if that means he's out of the woods. But that is one very important area, Mark, that people don't look at. The Supreme Court and the federal courts generally. George W. Bush has quietly been trying to transform what he considers to be the most liberal federal district courts or appeals courts in the country.
Yeah.
Particularly the one where you were this past weekend, which I believe is the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco. That is a court George W. Bush will change in his next 4 years. God, we can't. There's no way in the world we can't do it.
Moderate Republicans,
allow this.
Moderate Republicans, come on, wake up. Wake up. This guy's not a Republican. He's a fanatic. He's a messianic weirdo. He's a guy that is pandering to the worst of America. You know, I know the polls say 50-50, but I got a secret inkling that it's not going to be that, even when that guy yelled in my face, you know, the other night, you know, it's going to be Bush by 51%. You know, it's like, you know, all right, buddy. All right. Settle down.
Well, you
settle
know what? Down. There are maybe 3-4, as many as 8 states that are going to end up. There was an Associated Press tracking poll over the weekend that said 8 states representing 105 electoral votes will decide this election because neither Bush nor Kerry have enough solid electoral votes to take this thing. I think Bush had 220-something. Kerry had about 216.
So that's Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio?
Ohio, Iowa, Minnesota, Michigan, yep. New Hampshire, New Mexico, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin is, you know what, it's so funny, Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, and Brendan P.W. McDonald were discussing this morning about how, you know, there were definitely spikes in the polls in Wisconsin wherever Bruce showed up.
The Bruce juice!
Wherever the boss showed up, man, the numbers went up.
Well, yeah, apparently Bush did have a lead a few weeks ago. Now he seems to have climbed, Kerry has climbed back on top by 1 to 2 points.
Yeah.
In the state of Wisconsin.
You know what's amazing about Kerry and also about somebody like Bruce Springsteen, you know, coming out to support Kerry publicly, because that's not, you know, Bruce's, you know, he's an artist, and, you know, he made a decision to do this. He's never done it before.
Yeah, he's generally been non-political.
But, you know, it amplifies the earnestness of John Kerry. I mean, you know, this is the one thing that you get from this guy. You know, if his charisma doesn't bowl you over in that way that a rock star does, the one thing you should be bowled over by is his diplomatic earnestness, and that this is a guy that weighs things out, that thinks about things, that, you know, has a certain, you know, he may not have the personal juice or the personality that you want, but I think he is a very earnest American. I think that he's a guy that believes in the best things about America, and I think you feel that. I mean, I've been, you know, moved to emotion, you know, quite a few times watching him recently, and it just you know, I believe him. You know, I believe that he's an earnest guy. I don't believe that I'm being rooked or conned or cajoled or seduced. You know, I see a guy that's, you know, practical and believes in what he's talking about.
Well, I know you must be talking about John Kerry, because all of the things you just described could describe 30 seconds of watching George W. Bush.
Yeah.
I mean, I still have a great deal of difficulty, to be honest with you, watching him for any length of time. Although that whole gaffe with the confetti the other day, where apparently they shot off this cannon and dropped all this confetti a little bit too early.
Yeah.
That was worth watching. But other than that, I to watch the guy talk about policy is an agonizing experience, because I believe that the man is lying to the American people. I believe, as Mickey Herzog said in his interview with Russ Baker, that George W. Bush,
Herskowitz,
I'm sorry, had a plan well ahead of time to invade Iraq.
Yeah, I see a guy that's, like, you know, desperately trying to make sure the people that believe in him don't even waffle or change their minds. He's like a cult leader that he just keeps repeating things because that's the con he's created. Even his delivery, you know, is so, you know, articulated and decided upon that, you know, it just seems like he's running this tape to make sure that nobody who's in his little corral, you know, doubts for a second that, you know, it's almost like he's on top of them. He's like saying, you know, come on, remember, you got to be afraid. This guy, everything that you hear out of his mouth, out of the news, out of the newspapers, anything you hear outside of my voice at this point in time is a lie. It's a lie. Don't believe it. It's the guy. It's Jim Jones in Jonestown is what it is. You know, it really is a guy who's sitting there holding on to these people that so desperately believe in him, at the eve of their destruction.
Well, see, and he's got to convince people in towns like Akron and Dayton and Columbus, where we have an affiliate, that they haven't lost all those jobs that have been lost over the last few years.
Yeah.
He's got to convince people in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh that his tax cuts are actually going to help people that live in public housing in cities like that.
200,000 jobs lost in Ohio. Maybe he can just sort of Photoshop them in like he did the military people on his ads and say,
"Oh yeah,
the jobs are here. They're right here."
Talk about low. Talk about disrespecting the truth.
I know. Here's a liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Write these down. One, try not to spend the day weeping and shrieking at strangers if you could. Two, I better make note of that one. Two, collect all leftover Bush masks from Halloween to create huge art installation swastika at Lincoln Memorial. Whoa. Deep. Three, call Pixar. Have them digitally insert Bush and Cheney into Bin Laden video. Call it Director's Cut. Four, yeah. See if you can get Bill Clinton to come on your morning show. Yeah. And today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. This is the dawning of the age of Icarus. Anybody? Icarus, get it? All right, I'm sorry. God, I'm so stressed out. Anyone got a Xanax?
Man, you're scaring me. You know that, right?
What's coming up, man?
Because that Director's Cut thing was something I thought about yesterday in my delirium.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, man.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, we've got 10 reasons Bush must go, because we know you need him. Former President Bill Clinton's coming up. We got you on the phones. The Presidential Daily Briefing, the Monday job listing. All of this on Air America Radio.
Oh, take a breath, Riley.
Studies show that over time, anabolic steroids can indeed take a heavy toll on a person's health. Abuse of oral or injectable steroids is associated with increased risk for severe liver problems, including hepatic cancer. People who share needles or use non-sterile injection techniques can also put themselves at risk for contracting dangerous infections. For more information about the harmful effects of anabolic steroids, please go to drugabuse.gov.
Black people, a stroke doesn't care about your money or status. Know that it could be a stroke if suddenly you have problems speaking or seeing. Maybe one side is numb or weak. If any of these occur, act immediately. Call 911. This is Kelly Price.
Blacks have a higher occurrence of stroke. Why is that? Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Ben.
I am Edison Photograph. To delight those who would have melody on.
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Newsweek is reporting that counterterrorism agents were extremely close to taking out terrorist mastermind Osama bin Laden. Newsweek is quoting agents who say they were hot on his trail in Pakistan while following an Al-Qaeda operative a few weeks ago. Magazine says the agents believe they were extremely close to getting bin Laden. His capture would have been the October surprise the Bush administration had been hoping for. Instead, bin Laden himself turned up on a video with a message to all Americans and President Bush. The bin Laden video, according to some polls since Friday, indicates it had no bearing on a presidential contest. Nationwide USA Today CNN Gallup poll shows that John Kerry is winning the contest in the battleground states, albeit only with a 5% edge over the incumbent. Across a dozen states, it appears Kerry holds the lead over Bush with a 5% edge. Recent findings indicate Friday's surprise video of a healthy Osama bin Laden did not favorably assist Bush, as some analysts had expected. Vice President Dick Cheney has made a 3,200-mile detour on the political map to campaign in Hawaii. Polls show the race in the 50th state is a dead heat. Speaking in Honolulu, Cheney invoked images of the attack on Pearl Harbor to say that John Kerry neither understands the war on terror nor could he win it. Though it seems a huge task for Bush to actually win the state that has been a Democratic stronghold, Cheney's trip is also aimed at fueling the perception the president's reelection is assured. It has been 44 years since a major party candidate on the national ticket made a campaign stop in Hawaii and is unprecedented this close to Election Day. Despite his week in state, former President Bill Clinton was on the stump for John Kerry in New Mexico over the weekend. Clinton told state residents that their votes could be crucial to the election of John Kerry. Clinton also warned them not to be put off by concerns about security. Al Gore carried the state in 2000 in the presidential contest. Clinton told thousands of people who jammed onto Santa Fe Plaza that the whole election could be a riding on the state of New Mexico. Bush plans to be in the state later today to shore up his support going into Election Day. He's worried that a shortage of 500,000 poll workers nationwide will mean many voters could face long lines, cranky volunteers, polling stations that open and close at the wrong time, and the fact that the results won't be known until long after the polls close. U.S. Election Assistance Commission says roughly 1.4 million people have been trained to serve as poll workers this Election Day. It's about the same as 4 years ago, but nearly 2 million will be needed to deal with the expected heavy turnout, huge numbers of first-time voters, and unfamiliar touchscreen machines in hundreds of places. An Israeli outdoor market is the scene of chaos this morning after a powerful bomb killed at least 4 people. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
On Sirius, we strive to bring you the best that the sports world has to offer.
Warm beer, high-priced tickets, and stale popcorn?
I don't think so.
Now on Saturdays, it's College Football Day, beginning with the kickoff show at 5 a.m. Sirius College Coaches Show at 9. A doubleheader of exciting game day action. And then we finish it with the ultimate post-game show, The Wrap-Up, hosted by Jerry Recco. From dawn to dusk, Saturday is College Sports Radio Day on Sirius Sports Action 123.
This is Earth and Sky. Air pollution reaches even the most remote mountain areas.
That's according to Bill Bowman, the director of the University of Colorado's Mountain Research Station. He spoke to us about changes happening to mountain air quality.
In the western United States, we're concerned about acid rain. We're looking at changes in stream and lake chemistry, changes in the biological composition of those lakes as sensitive indicators of acid rain, and in particular nitrogen pollution in those ecosystems.
Nitrogen pollution from cars and power plants burning fossil fuels is a component of acid rain. Bowman's research group runs experiments in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. They add nitrogen to soil and water to look for changes in soil and water chemistry. Their results suggest that an ecosystem exposed to nitrogen pollution might push plant species into doing better under high nitrogen concentrations.
But plants that have incorporated more nitrogen release more nitrogen when they decompose. Bowman's concern is that the lost nitrogen leaches into fragile alpine watersheds, increasing the acidity of the water. We have more on mountain ecosystems on our website, earthsky.org. Thanks today to the U.S. Forest Service and to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, this is Tom. In Missouri, the Bush administration has botched everything they've gotten their hands on, and they have got to go on November 2nd. Vote for John Kerry for president.
Hello, I'm Terry Dembowski. I'm from Ohio. I'm voting for Mr. Bush. President Bush has done a fine job for us. I'm a truck driver, and many of other truck drivers like myself are voting for Mr. Bush.
This is Ron from New Jersey, and this November 2nd, I'll be voting for John Kerry. George Bush must go. Anybody that sits there for 7 minutes after they've been told that our nation is under attack is not a good leader.
This is Tracy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm a retired U.S. Navy veteran, so I encourage all the veterans to get out and vote for George W. Bush.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
Fire truck!
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens. Kerry supporters, Democrats, liberals, progressives, utopians with no sense of humor, welcome. Welcome, people, with all the niche causes in a sort of, you know, boutique issues. We're all got to get on the same page by tomorrow!
You Larry right. Peltier! Oh, sorry.
And no, not this. I can't ask Clinton about that. We got Bill Clinton at the end of the hour. I'm not nervous, but, you know, I'm having one of those moments where I'm like, I hope I don't say something stupid. You know what I mean? I want to say something stupid. We got a great email here from Kathy in Colorado. I just had a call from my sister upset that my 23-year-old nephew was going to vote for Bush. Thankfully, I was able to quickly pull the 100 reasons to not vote for Bush. I think it worked. I think we saved the kid, thanks to you. I am grateful to have such a resource in my fingertips. I am thankful every day to have you to listen to for my sanity. Thank you, Kathy, and I'm glad we could help. I like to save the kid. Like he was all messed up on Bush. We had to put him through a rehab, a detox Republican talking points. Well, here's the 10 reasons for today, which makes it 110 reasons, which you can read on our website at morningsedition.com. Number one, on Afghanistan, he committed inadequate resources for the reconstruction of Afghanistan, providing a peacekeeping force of fewer than 0.2 people per 1,000 Afghans. John Kerry voted for more than $4.4 trillion in military spending, including 77 different weapon systems during his tenure in the Senate.
Number two, on nuclear proliferation. Bush undermined the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty to halt nuclear proliferation by keeping 2,000 U.S. warheads on alert. John Kerry will shut down Bush's billion-dollar bunker-busting nuclear weapons program.
Number three, on higher education, Bush eliminated more than $66 million of funding in his fiscal year 2005 budget that would have gone toward financial aid for students. John Kerry has proposed a state's relief and education fund that will contribute $10 billion to higher education. He will also offer a tax credit of up to $4,000 of tuition for 4 years of college.
Number four, on gun safety, Bush failed to enforce federal firearms laws, which was followed by a national increase in the number of homicides committed with guns. John Kerry supports mandatory safety devices on all guns, a position Bush opposes.
Number five, on the death penalty, Bush strongly opposed a national review of death penalty fairness. John Kerry supports a nonpartisan review board to examine the death penalty in the U.S. He opposes the use of the death penalty except in cases of terrorism.
Number six, on domestic abuse, Bush slashed funding for the Violence Against Women Act by $16.2 million in his 2004 budget. John Kerry co-sponsored the 1994 Violence Against Women Act, which has provided more than $1 billion for battered women's shelters, hotlines, and other resources since its creation.
Number seven, on crime, Bush drastically reduced funding of the COPS program, which under the Clinton administration placed over 118,000 new officers on the street, reducing violent crime 40%. John Kerry persuaded the Senate and the Clinton White House to finance a campaign pledge to put 100,000 more police officers on the street.
Number eight, on the environment, Bush counted on a voluntary program to reduce emissions of harmful gases. So far, only a tiny fraction of American companies have signed up. John Kerry's work in the 1990s on acid rain became an important part of the Senate version of the Clean Air Act.
Number nine, on intelligence spending. In the early days after 9/11, Bush cut by nearly two-thirds an emergency request for counterterrorism funds by the FBI. John Kerry has supported approximately $200 billion in intelligence funding over the past 7 years alone.
Number 10, on taxes. According to the Congressional Budget Office, Bush's tax cuts have transferred the federal tax burden from the richest Americans to middle-class families. John Kerry will require Americans earning more than $200,000 a year to pay the same amount of taxes they paid under Bill Clinton.
All right, so we've already given you 110 different reasons to give Bush the boot. All of these, as I said before, are listed on our website under our daily blog entry at morningsedition.com. You know, I talked to a girl on the plane, a woman. I'm sorry, don't use the word girl. I talked to a woman on the plane, you know, who is, you know, comes from a Republican family and gets into these arguments that aren't real arguments with her family members. They, you know, a lot of times they all do it. You know, you bring up an argument that you, and they won't follow through the argument. They'll just give you another talking point. They'll shift it. You know,
yeah.
Not unlike that woman Deborah Saunders did the other night where, you know, why do you want to vote for Bush? Well, I think he'd better be better on the war on terror. And then, like, right away, you know, Kerry voted against war, which is a miss. You know, that's not true.
Bush,
you know,
threatened to veto the same bill, for God's sake.
Yeah, you know, and it's just like, it just becomes this weird, you know, talking point assault. That has nothing to do with really, you know, fleshing out, you know, what the argument is.
Well, you know, it's amazing, Mark. This is, and there's some late polling that says that economic concerns are dominating people's priorities in several of the swing states that Kerry really does have to win.
Yeah.
In order to win the presidency. And the fact of the matter is this. George W. Bush has nothing, and I mean nothing. You know, I mean, you figure every incoming president has got a couple of economic strong suits to run, a couple of things he's done that have made the economy better. This guy has done absolutely nothing in 4 years to better the lot of working people in America. Period.
Isn't that amazing? I can't. He hardly has anything to run on, and now all they're hitting is like, you know, remember we're afraid. Remember,
yeah.
We're afraid. Remember, we're afraid. Remember. We're afraid.
Yeah, and of course, who's telling him this?
Yeah.
The polls are telling him this.
Yeah, of course.
The same polls that Dick Cheney tries to savage John Kerry for supposedly using in his response to Osama bin Laden. The Democrats have not said that John Kerry actually took a poll to find out what to say. But that's how Kerry, again, as you very correctly point out, that's how they try to spin everything.
And then when he says something, you know, whether or not he sat down with the people that he works with, you know, with his advisors and figured out a way to best delegate.
How do we best respond to this?
You know, which is what a responsible president or leader should do. You know, they did the same thing, and yet they'll just throw it back on the other guy. And no matter what the other guy says, no matter what John Kerry says, they're going to spin it to, you know, make him look like an idiot anyways. That's how they do it. They're name-calling, slandering, shameless, you know. I don't want to use the word, you know.
Yeah, I know the word you want to use. It's the same word I want to use.
And I just want to say in Pennsylvania, that's trending towards Kerry, but still within a margin of error. In Florida, this is the hardest of the big states to read. You know, it's a statistical tie in most polls, but a lot of new voters are coming out. A lot of Democrats are registering. A lot of new, early voting there. In Ohio, Kerry seems to be holding a tenuous lead. And, you know, it's really going to be about the economy in Ohio. And if Bush can somehow miraculously make, you know, people who lost their jobs think that they still have one, then, you know, then he's going to pull that off. But I think Kerry, you know, is definitely, you know, starting to pull ahead in Ohio. It's beautiful. In Arkansas, the latest polls show a tie in Colorado.
No, but wait a minute now. Yeah. Arkansas is important because 4 years ago, Al Gore did not take Bill Clinton's home state. Bush won Arkansas four years ago. Now it's a tie, and apparently there are a lot of people from Arkansas that are overseas fighting in Iraq. There are a lot of casualties. Of course, the economic news hasn't been great for people living in Arkansas, and all of this has helped carry. And, of course, as in many of these other battleground states, turnout.
Sure.
Is the key.
What's going on in your swing state? 866-303-2270. Give us a call. We'll be back in a second with your calls and the Dream Diary. It's 14 past the hour here on Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
Planet Check. It's the 2004 Brower Youth Awards for Outstanding Environmental Leadership. Eugene Pearson spearheaded the Student Council to turn the tables on rising college fees by requiring that their money be spent to green the University of Colorado.
We decided we wanted to incorporate green building standards and sustainable design into these buildings.
Four buildings will be constructed on campus.
In the short term, these buildings might cost a little more money, but the long-term benefits for the health and welfare of not only the population at CU Boulder, but the environment of the planet far outweighs that initial cost increment.
Under the agreement, all new buildings must run on 100% renewable energy, making CU Boulder's green building standards the strongest of any university in the country.
We've always had a very strong commitment to the environment.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
You peck us. You know no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes, sir.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. If you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
What happens if you take the two big college football games of the day, a kickoff show, a coach's show, a post-game wrap-up, and try and bundle it into one sweet little package? You gotta start it at 5 a.m. Saturday is college football game day on Sirius. And we've got so much going on that you're gonna forget about sleeping in. Hey, if you're on the West Coast, you may as well just stay up all night. Dawn to dusk with college football on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
Optimist volunteers serve as leaders, mentors, and friends to help kids achieve a more positive and productive life in 3,600 communities and 19 countries. This year, Optimists will raise and invest over $80 million in 60,000 community service projects that help 6 million children and teens. Optimists have been bringing out the best in kids for nearly 100 years. For the location of your nearest Optimist Club, call 1-800-500-8130.
Project Impact is a FEMA initiative that brings communities together to take actions that prepare for and protect against natural disasters before they happen. The concept of Project Impact is simple. We can accomplish more by working together than we can by working alone. For more information about how you can use Project Impact to build a disaster-resistant community, visit www.fema.gov.
In the 2000 election, only 51% of Americans eligible to vote actually cast a ballot. 24% of Americans weren't even registered to vote at all. And until recently, I was one of them. Then a friend told me about JustVote.org, a nonprofit organization with a fast and easy way to register online. Go to JustVote.org, enter your zip code, and follow the simple instructions. You can also find your local polling place, tell a friend about JustVote.org, and donate money to help get more people registered. It's our democracy. Let's make it work. JustVote.org.
Good morning, it's 20 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Air America Radio, this morning's edition. You know, let's take down the jazz a little bit there, Chris. Leave it going, though. My therapist asked me to write my dreams down, so I did, and this is from last night. It's poetry night in my dream at the coffee house. And the guy with the dread steps up to the mic and says, "And now dig the poetical, political stylings of Mark Bongos Maron." I step into the spotlight and I say, "I'd like to read a poem called Vote, by Mark Maron. If you want to rewrite what's been wrote, vote. If you want to squeeze the bastard's throat, vote. If you want to keep your boat afloat, vote. If you're tired of the sugar coat, vote. If Bush makes you bloat, vote. If you're dying to emote, vote. If you're dying to emote, I gotta say that twice, vote. If you're a man and not a goat, please vote. If you can't sing a note, you gotta vote. If your couture is haute, vote. If your castle has a moat, do it now and vote. If you to smite is to become smote, vote. If you're a Serb or a Croat, vote. If you can't find the remote, vote. If you're in a German U-boat, vote. If you like Raisin Bran or oat, vote. If Wednesday you want to gloat, vote. I woke up and my bed was filled with Tippecanoe and Tyler 2. Jamming with the Charles Irwin intensity given to me by a fan in San Francisco named Vincent. Let's go to the phones. Speaking of fans, hopefully. How are you, Joy, in Palm Beach? What's going on?
Fine.
Hi, Joy.
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
We're good. What's going on down there?
Well, a lot of people in the black communities are getting phone calls saying that they can take their vote over the phone.
I hope they're saying, shut up, leave me alone.
Yes.
How are they responding to that?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know, and these calls are sounding very professional.
Oh.
It sounds, they're saying they're from the voters' supervisor of elections.
That's ridiculous.
That's illegal, isn't it?
It sure is.
That's false representation. I mean, if you just say you're from some research firm or something like that, that's different. Then you're just getting snookered.
Has anybody reported it, Joy?
It's been on one radio station.
Okay, well, we'll put it out there as well.
Well, now it's on 20-something.
Yeah, and if you're in Florida and you're getting these calls saying you can vote over the phone from whoever it is, call 866-OUR-VOTE, talk to a lawyer, maybe we can take some action around this, but don't believe them, please. You can't vote over the phone.
No, you cannot vote over the phone. It'd be nice if you could, no, you cannot.
Thanks a lot, Joy. Thanks for reporting that. Please, don't listen to that. Just
don't believe the hype.
I think
Chuck D said that.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve in North Carolina. How are you, Steve?
Hey, Steve.
I'm fine. Hey, guys. I love you guys. Listen, thanks for the talking points. I'm new in Charlotte. Moved from New York.
Uh-huh.
And went to a party last night. Great people.
Uh-huh.
Except I find out my wife and I are the only Democrats. And
wow.
I find out this. I said, listen, where's the polls? Because, you know, we're voting tomorrow. And they said, are you a Democrat? And I said, yeah. Oh, well, voting's not till Wednesday. And I'm telling you, you know, fate before fact, this one woman said to me, and these are, by the way, I don't know too many Republican Jews,
mm-hmm.
but this one woman said to me, and I said, my wife said, why are you a Republican? Very nicely.
Yeah.
And she said, because I don't want to pay more taxes. And then she said to me, you know, it was Hillary Clinton that killed JFK Jr.
Oh, my
God. I said, first of all, I know that I'm also a pilot, and I know that story intimately.
Yes.
And I told her all the reasons why. I said, now you tell me why Hillary. She said, I just know. I just feel it.
I
have never, I'm telling you, I have never been surrounded by so much hate. And you know, when I moved here,
yeah.
I got my driver's license. They said, do you want to register? And I said, yeah. Then I find out later I'm not registered. So I download a form. I fill it out. I send it in. And they send me back a note saying, improper paper, and we don't know where your street is. But they knew where my wife's street was, and we lived together. So they gave me another form. I filled it out. I FedExed it to them
yeah.
with signature, and hopefully everything will be all right tomorrow.
That's unbelievable. But were you able to keep these Republicans at bay? Did you show them who was, you know, who knew what they were talking about?
Yeah, but you know what?
What?
You know what it is? You can't. They got that glaze in their eye.
Well, yeah, they're talking conspiracies.
And you know what? These are she's not going to be confused by facts. She made up her mind.
By the way,
Hillary killed more than JFK Jr. in her eyes. And when I asked her for proof, she said, I have no proof. I just know.
That's so scary, man. It is so scary.
Yeah.
It is frightening. The nice part, I mean, I happen to like Charlotte here, and I'm driving around, and I'm seeing a lot of Kerry Edwards signs up.
Well, that's great.
Bumper stickers, and that makes me feel good. But I want to thank you all for your talking points. I get out of the gym this time every morning, and I listen to you guys.
Well, thanks a lot, Steve.
Appreciate that, Steve. Take care.
Wow. Can you, like, Hillary, where do they get that? I mean, it's like, and why do they choose to believe that? Are they that lazy? Are they that intellectually lazy that they're going, like, I've been victim of it, too. You know, we all think in terms of conspiracies. You know, I do. You know, and I know a lot of progressives do as well, because it makes you feel better. If you don't, you know, depending on where your faith is and, you know, how hopeless you are, conspiracies, you know, can make you feel better. They're like myths. But that one was way out there. And, you know, and when they choose to, you know, buttress their argument to vote for Bush with complete misinformation, complete conspiracy stuff that makes no sense whatsoever, it's really frightening.
Well, I'm writing this down now. Questions for President Clinton. One. Did your wife kill JFK Jr.? What?
Unbelievable.
That is like, and I'm not joking, folks. We will have President Clinton within the hour.
Yeah, but why would a Republican care? It's just like, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
I know.
That would be the one thing about JFK.
Like she liked JFK Jr.
Exactly.
to begin with.
Exactly. I mean, okay, Laura in Broward County. How are you, Laura?
Hi, Lori. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up? What's going on?
The Vandals are out in full force in Broward and Palm Beach.
The Vandals are?
Oh, yeah. Signs 20 feet up in the air on telephone poles, ripped in half.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Terry signs disappearing left and right. My car has stickers and flags stolen off of them.
Your car had stickers and flags stolen off of them?
I was parked in a Republican town that I used to be a poll worker in.
But
it's the drugstore.
Uh-huh.
I came back and they were gone.
Unbelievable. That is unbelievable. Yep. It's just like, you know, they're like children.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Democrats sometimes underestimate the vitriol and the bile, the pure bile that some in the Republican Party have for any. I mean, it started with the Clintons because a lot of them hated the Clintons,
right,
as we just heard from our last caller. But there's a very deep, visceral distaste, a very deep anger toward anything Democratic. I mean, look, I've had a Kerry Edwards sign stolen off of my front lawn, and I live in a predominantly Democrat community.
Thanks a lot for your call, Lori. We got Vince in New Jersey. How are you, Vince?
Hi, guys.
Hey, Vince.
There seems to be a lot of, to use your word, vitriol against gays, which could transfer to Kerry in this election, regrettably, because I don't think there's any good reason for that. Many Christian, at least Catholic Christian theologians, eminent ones, have proposed monogamy among gays as an alternate to promiscuity, which many gay anti-Christians should be against.
Uh-huh.
This is something that Christians in our area seem to harp on, you know, that gay marriage thing. But monogamy is desirable.
Sure.
Well, not only is it desirable, the gay marriage thing is the biggest canard in this 2004 political season. First of all, you know, Cheney says the states should decide. There are, I believe, ballot initiatives in 11 different states. And the idea that this election should turn, that people would vote for George W. Bush, particularly black clergy people, would vote for George W. Bush or exhort their congregations to vote for this guy, given Dick Cheney's record on issues of substance to African Americans, given Bush's record on issues of something, it's a shame. It's a disgrace.
They're so frightened, man.
Yeah.
We got Peter Bergen coming up.
We got Peter Bergen. He's going to talk Terry. He's going to talk Osama bin Laden. And then former President Bill.
Mr. President.
Clinton.
That's right.
When we come back, here.
on Air America Radio.
Right.
What if I told you that you could get cash back from your federal student loans? No, really. You can receive up to $1,000 cash rebate just for making your first 6 payments on time. Introducing College Loan Corporation's Reward. Now you can save up to 50% on your monthly payments, lock in the lowest interest rates in history, and you may be able to earn a significant rebate. That's cold hard cash in your pocket. To take advantage of this amazing offer, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
College football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, it's even the G's at the gate, the Score TV, the Music Rocks, commercial-free discovery, MLB and Patreon with left and right to call the shots, Matt's Infection, John McMullen, Laura Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank the Factor, Traffic Savage, Hazen Cryer, Randy Rose, and NPR, there's comedy and all the stars.
This is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Brian is wondering if he should cash out his whole life policy. My answer coming up next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Brian has questions about his whole life insurance policy.
I have two life policies, probably about $8,000 cash value built up in the two of them. My question is, do you cash these things in and put that money in mutual fund?
As soon as you have your term insurance in place, you need about 8 to 10 times your income in 15 to 20 year level term, and then I would drop these things in a heartbeat. And the reason is very simple, Dave. The rate of return on your investment stinks. And then secondly, you paid about 10 times more per month for the same amount of whole life as you would have for term. Now that you've paid all that money to create this savings, when you die with a face value of $50,000, they're going to send $50,000.
Right.
What happened to your $8,000 you've worked so hard to save up at a lousy rate of return? They keep it. So you have a savings or an investment program with a lousy rate of return. When you die, they keep your money. Would I cash this in? How fast can I do it?
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey. Research shows that the highest achieving students attend schools with good library media centers. It's easy to see why. School library media centers across the country have been helping teachers bring lessons to life with computers, videos, books, and more for years. The Campaign for America's Libraries reminds you that school library media specialists help students develop the information searching skills they need to succeed throughout their lives.
All systems ready.
Cool.
Lifelong learning begins at your library.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. Number 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. Number 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Racing thoughts. Horrible images crept through my mind. I thought I was seeing the devil and kept asking my friends if I was dead. I felt like I was having a heart attack. When we got to the hospital, I was committed to the psychiatric ward. spent the next 14 days there.
17-year-old Lynn Smith had always heard ecstasy was the harmless and happy drug, which is only true if she'd never used it. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
For everything Air American.
Before past the hour, Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We're listening to Morning's Edition. We're talking Morning's Edition. We're on the show, me and Riley over there.
Yeah, sort of.
I think you're listening to it. That's what I was trying to get across to these people.
Yes.
We're the ones doing the show.
We're the ones doing the show. They are listening to the show. Welcome to the new listeners in New Haven, Connecticut. The
good state morning.
Where I grew up.
Did you?
Yeah, I grew up in Connecticut.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot. Yeah.
And I was raised in the great state of Connecticut.
The Drum Corps thing.
The Drum Corps thing in Bridgeport and New Haven. I spent a lot of time there, too. Goff Street Armory.
All right. There you go. There's a little, you just were in Rileytown.
Hey!
For those of you who are wondering. Now it's time to look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled, Bite Me, You A-Hole. Mr. President, we've spent the last few years trying to warn you, protect you, hold your little hand, wipe your stinky butt, take the blame for every arrogant, dumbass thing that you've done. Well, now hear this. We're done driving Miss Daisy. We're tired of playing Rumpelstiltskin, spinning your turds into gold. We're tired of playing the terror card every time someone coughs. We're tired of changing the terror chart like a traffic light every time your poll numbers drop. We're tired of you withholding funds for this department and then blaming us for your complete lack of leadership skills. The CEO president, are you kidding me? We're done laughing at your stupid jokes. We're done visiting your stupid ranch. We're done bailing you out. We're done bailing out your stupid drunk kids and your creepy animatronic wife. We're sick of your big dopey ears, your little grimaces and smirks, that blank expression anytime the English language is required, your phony cowboy shtick, and your completely hypocritical Christianity. Hey, numbnuts, Jesus doesn't like you either. Neither do we. As of today, we're taking the training wheels off and pushing the bike down the driveway. You get it? So start pedaling, douchebag. Take us off the speed dial. If you want us, we'll be at the Kerry party, you idiot. Not respectfully, the former Office of Homeland Security. P.S. Bite me, you. Wow. That's a whole different Homeland Security thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Man, so, you know, now it's my pleasure. As always, to welcome our guest. He's in Washington. He's the author of Holy War Incorporated. He's a regular guest on our show. Peter Bergen, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you stateside. Maybe we won't have that delay. So is there any way to read this Bin Laden tape other than that he's announced his candidacy for President of the United States?
Well, certainly it seemed like a Halloween parody of an Oval Office address. I mean, here's a guy talking directly into the camera to the American people. He seemed... presenting himself sort of as an elder statesman, offering some sort of peace deal, not a deal I'm sure that many Americans are prepared to entertain, and no gun in the frame of the shot, which is kind of unusual. I think the first time we've seen Bin Laden without a weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, to me it raises a couple of issues. One is, by my count, this is the 27th video or audio tape from either Bin Laden or Ayman al-Zawahiri,
uh-huh.
Number two, since 9/11. The chain of custody of these audio tapes and videotapes is the one surefire way to find them. And we don't seem to be doing a particularly good job of tracing the chain of custody.
Right.
Bin Laden also seems to be in reasonable health. The last time we had a videotape from him was back in December of 2001, in which he was 45 at the time. He looked like he was in his mid-70s. His whole left side was immobilized. It was a very downbeat message. He said, you know, I don't care if I live or die. This new message doesn't have anything downbeat in it. He seems to be in reasonable health.
But it is him, though. There's some conspiratorial speculations out there in the internet world that it's a different guy. If you watch it 300 times, you'll realize.
Yeah, some things just are what they are, and this is what it is.
Yeah.
Why, Peter Bergen, is it so difficult to establish and trace that chain of custody?
Well, you know, on the face of it, it shouldn't be. I mean, how many bureaus does Al Jazeera have? If indeed certain U.S. officials were expecting some kind of Bin Laden statement during the election period, the most obvious recipient of such a tape is Al Jazeera's bureau in Pakistan, which is where this tape actually went. So it just seems to me kind of incompetence.
Mm. So what was he trying to say? What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's part of a pattern of him sort of, he also offered a truce to European nations in the coalition if they were willing to drop out of the coalition in Iraq after the Madrid attacks.
Mm.
This is part of an effort to speak directly to Western publics and try and sort of, pitch them some sort of deal, not a deal I think that many people will be interested in.
And he's very careful to say that he didn't think either Bush nor Kerry can keep America safe, but what do you think Bin Laden would rather see, Bush or Kerry win on Tuesday?
I think that's an sort of absurd parlor game.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to play,
in other words?
Well, I mean, I just don't think that he's sitting around his campfire or wherever he is, worrying that Rand Beers is going to be a more aggressive or less aggressive national security advisor than Condoleezza Rice. I just don't think they think that way. Bin Laden had a lot of very unpleasant things to say about President Clinton. So, I think he well understands that American foreign policy, basically in terms of going after Al Qaeda, is not going to be particularly changed, whoever is in office on November 3rd.
Right, but the timing is sort of like implies that he is trying to make some statement, very close to the American election.
No doubt. I mean, this tape was made last Sunday and was delivered to Al Jazeera's bureau on Friday morning, so it was a definite effort to insert himself into the election process. But I don't think that, I think the main effort was not to influence the election. The main effort was to have us talk about him right now, which we're doing, unfortunately.
Right. We have to. But isn't there, am I wrong in assuming that there is some evidence that since the attack in Iraq that, Al-Qaeda recruitment has been up, terrorism has sort of, escalated on the global scale, and that on some level that this president has done more for escalating terrorism than not?
Well, the Iraq war has undoubtedly, contributed to record levels of anti-Americanism. Also, foreign fighters going into Iraq, there'd be more significant terrorist attacks in 2003, than any time in the past two decades.
Right.
Significant terrorist attacks, meaning attacks that kill, large numbers of people. And so these figures speak for themselves.
Okay.
Peter Bergen, there's a piece in Newsweek that talks about the fact that large numbers of American intelligence agents were really upset about this tape because they thought fairly recently, in fact, that they might be on the trail of Osama bin Laden and actually might be able to capture him sometime soon. What do you think the tape has done for the morale of the intelligence community?
Well, certainly this was I haven't talked to anybody directly, so I can only speculate, but I imagine this is obviously not good news. Certainly in the spring of this year, there was a feeling that perhaps, Ayman al-Zawahiri was maybe surrounded in Waziristan, in Pakistan, and if you find Ayman al-Zawahiri, the number two, you might find bin Laden. But, I think that in the larger scheme of things, I spent this summer writing a piece for The Atlantic looking at the question of where is Osama, where is Ayman al-Zawahiri, and the bottom line is that the many officials I spoke to in the Afghan, Pakistan, and U.S. Government, they basically say, bin Laden's whereabouts are a mystery, that the hunt has hit a brick wall. And, it's not entirely surprising. It's hard to find one person who's got a support network and who's not doing stupid mistakes that get you caught. And bin Laden is a fairly disciplined and intelligent guy.
Well, you mentioned a fairly wide base of support. Does this tape and the fact that it was, in Al Jazeera's hands with relative dispatch and broadcast to the world, does that indicate that perhaps bin Laden's got a higher level of support than most Americans think?
Well, in Pakistan, bin Laden has better numbers than President Bush in the United States, if that's a helpful measure.
Wow.
Bin Laden's favorable ratings in Pakistan are at 65%. As you know, Bush's are about 50% here. So I think those numbers also speak for themselves.
Wow, that's scary. Is there any truth to the, I've heard people speculating that bin Laden could be in China. Have you heard that?
I think it's rubbish.
You still think he's somewhere in the borderlands between Pakistan and Afghanistan?
Well, even, another if you look at the people who've been arrested in Al-Qaeda, the main leaders like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the operational planner of 9/11, they've all been arrested in Pakistani cities, without exception, nobody in the tribal area. So we don't know where he is, but he could also be in a small city, after all, in Pakistan, after all, that way you can communicate, you can maybe share tapes. It's hard to do it in the tribal areas.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Peter Bergen. Always informative and a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
We will be back with President Bill Clinton. Is there anything else I need to say? It's 44 past the hour, Air America Radio.
This year on election night, America will get some good news, some bad news, and some fake news. Watch Comedy Central, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, for live Indecision 2004 election night coverage.
I'm Jon Stewart. If you demand accurate projections, comprehensive updates, and in-depth analysis, you will be disappointed.
The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, live Indecision 2004 election night coverage. Tomorrow at 10, 9 Central on Comedy Central.
And don't forget, it's an hour early. You're going to forget, aren't you?
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who have reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 800-921-BURN, and you could try Cortislim risk-free for 30 days. All you pay is shipping and handling. Call 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
It's coming down to the wire. We're just days away from completing our quest for a better America. Join us for live extended coverage on election night with the team from Sirius Left 143, Air America Radio 144, and Sirius LQ 149. All the election returns, correspondents from around the country, and your phone calls all night long. It's your election coverage your way.
On Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Yeah, hello, this is Daniel in Michigan. Anybody who thinks John Kerry is going to sell our sovereignty or our right for preemptive action against any enemy that threatens us is completely uninformed. Get your head out of your butt, get informed, and get to the polls and vote for John Kerry.
This is Marcia Wallace in Greenville, South Carolina, and I'd like to say that in this upcoming election, I'm going to vote for John Kerry because I value environmental protection, good health care, excellent educational system, women's rights, and honesty and integrity. And I believe John Kerry represents all of those things. Please vote for John Kerry on November the 2nd.
Hi, my name's Dorothy, and I'm calling from British Columbia. Even though I'm a Canadian, I'm aware that what happens in the United States affects all of the planet. Please vote for John Kerry.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
I'm Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD. Recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you to listen very carefully. Now, if you're ever at a party and someone asks you if you'd like to shove a stick of dynamite up your rear end, don't do it. Dynamite is very, very dangerous.
Got it, Dad.
It'd be nice if teenagers thought that using the drug ecstasy was as dangerous as, say, sticking dynamite up their rear ends. And that it can cause panic attacks, severe depression, kidney failure, heart failure, seizures, even death. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Tomorrow, leave home without it. Just once or even twice a week, leave your car parked and get around another way. Try taking mass transit, carpooling, walking, or biking. Not only will you save a lot of money and aggravation, you'll also help to reduce traffic congestion and pollution. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
Good morning. It's 48 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Hi.
We're almost on the phone with President Bill Clinton. Riley, pull it together.
Oh, Lord, the disaster almost happened here.
Riley almost had a lap full of tea. Okay, we know things are rough in the job market right now, so we've decided to help out. We scanned through the Sunday Help Wanted listings and found these for the Morning Edition Monday job listing. The Republican Party is looking for people to assist potential new voters to realize that maybe they'd be better off just going home and forgetting about this voting thing. We're calling it our big Get Out, the Vote is Not for You effort. A quick training seminar will show you how to spot the type of voters we're referring to. It's mostly a matter of skin color, so don't worry about having to be able to make any fine distinctions. If you enjoy intimidating elderly black people, non-English speakers, and any punk with a facial piercing, please apply. You'll be expected to display your own axe handle and torches. If you're interested, meet Election Day Eve by the big cypress deep in the swamps for a pep rally before piling into a bunch of pickup trucks. Dress appropriately, and don't forget to cut eye holes. And we have another listing this week. It's for the United States of America, a major post-industrial nation, seeks a new head for our executive branch. The ideal candidate will be able to make informed decisions based on the facts and be able to adjust to changing circumstances. I go with my gut feeling types need not apply. Also, we're not looking for someone who wants to take inordinate amounts of time off. If selected, you'll be responsible for an organization with a severe deficit. Our assets currently stand at a negative $1.3 trillion. We need someone who knows how to budget. Also, a recent hostile takeover on our part has gone disastrously awry and is causing a continuous bloodletting. Unfortunately, that is not a metaphor. We desperately need someone who knows how to work with others. All this adds up to some serious image problems. Our once respected brand is now tarnished. Simply put, we need an expert in turnarounds. Interested applicants are encouraged to submit their qualifications directly to our 250 million members and spend tens of millions of dollars promoting themselves. A final decision will be made by November 3rd, hopefully. Please note, this is a temporary position subject to review after 4 years.
That's that.
Well, hey, you know, I mean, we are getting to the point where the referendum will be taken and the die will be cast for another 4 years.
I can't believe it, man. I can't. I am so stressed out. Apparently, I have some sort of anxiety disorder. Now, not only am I stressed out about tomorrow, I'm stressed out about, you know, 2 minutes from now. You know what I mean?
I'm stressed out about 4 years from now if this guy gets back in.
It might take 4 years for them to count this thing.
You may be right. You may be right.
Everybody's like speculating about that, like just the disasters that are gonna happen. Wouldn't it be amazing if there was just a landslide and Kerry, that was undeniable that Kerry was the victor, the winner, the
triumphant
Well,
that's what I predicted. I still say at this late date, Kerry by eight.
Yeah.
Kerry by eight.
You're sticking with it?
I'm sticking with it. What else am I going to do?
All I know is I got to do tough crowd on the day after on Wednesday. Whatever happens, Colin owes me $40 because he bet me that Dick Cheney would have a heart attack before the election.
Well, yeah. There's still time.
There's still time.
It's not done yet.
I think they're hiding some super secret medical technology with that guy, and I've discussed that before. We're waiting for President Bill Clinton to get on the phone, and hopefully that'll happen soon. So don't sit there and freak out and say, why are they talking? Is they just have President Clinton on hold? I mean, what's going on with those guys? Who the hell do they think they are? Why don't they talk about the issues?
We're fighting
for our lives here. We want to hear from the man in charge.
Listen, my daughter is sitting waiting to hear President Bill Clinton. And let me tell you something. Last Friday, after we left here, I went to a Halloween parade at my daughter's school. Now, these are first, second, and third grade children.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them were wearing John Kerry masks. And as soon as those two got up to parade around in front of the audience, which included, you know, a pretty substantial number of parents, all of these first, second, and third grade children started chanting, Kerry, Kerry. And I mean, it crescendoed to the point that people's parents were looking. We were all looking at each other like, where did they get this from?
Yeah.
John Kerry is very, very popular with children who obviously can't vote yet. But hopefully a couple of them will be able to influence their moms and dads.
That's interesting. I'd like to talk to children. I'd like to know, you know, I'd like to know, like, you know, what is it about? I mean, George Bush has got to scare them a little bit. You mean kids?
Well, listen, if my daughter was there while he was reading The Pet Goat, I'm sure she would have excused herself and gone to the ladies' room.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, this is a, for me, and I've covered politics for a minute, this is the most important election I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I remember Kennedy Nixon, mm-hmm. which was before your time, Mark. And that was considered a very important election. It was, you know, we were going into the 1960s. Eisenhower had been president. You know, he was a war hero. And there were people who had questions about the direction that the country was going. The civil rights movement was just reaching at that point. It was still in its infancy.
Uh-huh.
And people were concerned about marches in different parts of the South and those sorts of things. And the night before that election, we were talking, you know, and I was 10 years old, 9 years old, I think, at the time. My parents had long discussions and many arguments about who was going to win that race.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I you know, it's like, I don't remember the Kennedy election. That was too long ago. Obviously,
I know. You were not there yet.
I was like, barely.
But he won by 112,000 votes, which is approximately one vote for every election district in America.
I'm trying to remember the first time I voted. I know I voted for Clinton.
Okay.
I know that, and I'm trying to remember the first time I voted for president because I can't quite remember what it was. Right now, you know, this is a good segue. We have on the phone former President Bill Clinton. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. President. How are you feeling?
I'm doing great. I just got back from a tour out west to Nevada, New Mexico, and a stop in Arkansas, and I'm trying to spend a day on the phone talking to people around America and get that vote out.
Yeah, well, you know, we've been talking all morning about this Bin Laden tape. Is there any way to see that tape other than an indication that George Bush has failed?
Well,
come on.
Look, you guys are in the radio business. Let me put it in my terms.
Okay, okay.
This election's come down to two things.
Okay.
It's tight as a tick, and nobody knows, and the polls are conflicting. Now, there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
All these polls are right. The polls that show Bush are ahead are right. The polls that show Kerry ahead are right. What do I mean by that? They accurately measure the people they call. But no one knows what the universe of voters is going to be.
Okay.
So this election is coming down to two things. That's why your question is important. I'm going to come back to your question in a serious way.
Okay.
The elections come down to whether the Bush voters or the Kerry voters want to vote bad enough.
Right.
Which is why there have been a lot of Republican efforts to suppress the minority votes and poor people in various places around the country. I don't think they're going to work this time, but that's why they're trying to do it. They know that if, let's say, 85% of the Kerry voters want to vote and 90% of the Bush voters want to vote, that Bush wins.
Okay.
Okay, the second thing this election's come down to is about 5% of the voters left in the undecided column.
How can they not know?
Well, here's why. Because they feel two things.
Yeah.
And that's why your question's important. They feel two things. They feel that we need a new direction on the economy, on health care, on education,
yeah.
on the environment,
right.
on being independent of foreign oil. They think we're too divided and that the administration's too right-wing.
Mm-hmm.
But they are concerned about whether we can change leaders while we're fighting terror and dealing with all these problems in Iraq.
Okay.
That's the import of your question. And what? Let me answer it in a less sort of confrontational way. I read very carefully everything both these people have said.
Okay.
And when it comes right down to it, there is a reason that John Kerry has more retired four-star admirals and generals endorsing him than any other challenger in my lifetime, even more than I had in 92.
Mm-hmm.
He's got all these military guys for him. A bunch of them are Republican. Why are they for him? They think his security program is better.
Right.
What does he want to do? Now, this goes right to your question.
Okay.
There are four specific things where Kerry says, here's where I'm different from the president. Point one, he says, I want to add 30,000 people to the Army and get more help from other countries so we can manage this Iraq thing better and not lose ammunition at dumps and things like that. Point two, going to your question, he says, I want to double the size of the special forces so we can go directly after Bin Laden and the top terrorists and not have to have it done by Pakistan, Afghan tribals, and have other people essentially do that. We contracted out that job.
Right.
And then he said, the third thing I want to do is to spend more effort trying to secure nuclear and biological and chemical materials that can be used against us not just in Iran and North Korea, but also in Russia, which has the biggest stocks in the world.
Right.
And where they, basically this administration,
okay,
opposed that. So, and finally, he wants to double inspections at ports and airports of containers. But I think
we need
so
to do
I
that.
So I think Kerry's got a good plan.
Yep. And thanks for sharing it with us, President Clinton. I really appreciate talking to you, Mr. President.
That's the election.
Okay.
All right,
you
sir.
You got it. Thanks a lot.
You take care.
Wow, that was...
The music's always been sacred. The rest of my life was not. First time a guy gave me a shot of dope, I got beat. But a little bit later, I got a good one. That was what I was chasing for many, many years after that. I had so many worse days on drugs, I knew I had a problem. Hey, now this is Dr. John with a message from NAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be an optimist.
A what?
An optimist.
My dad is one, and he says Optimist Healthcare. He says they have all sorts of activities and programs for kids. Things that help kids feel good about themselves. Dad says they have sports programs, safety programs, and things that are just fun. So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I kind of wanted to be a rock star, but now I think I might want to be an optimist, too.
Compromise off. Serious on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Kelman. Over 6,000 soldiers stationed in Iraq have had their tours extended by 2 months, with the Army citing the need for more experienced troops through the Iraqi election set for January. Some 3,500 soldiers of the 2nd Brigade, 1st Cavalry Division, and another 3,000 will remain in the country 2 months longer than planned. Roughly 135,000 American troops are in Iraq. The extensions will result in a net addition of 3,500 more during the Iraqi election period. A description of the troop extensions posted on the Pentagon's website mentioned the troops' frustration over having their tours extended. Some of the soldiers said they were told they would have been leaving the area in November. Now they still will stay until January. American investigators have opened more than 100 cases this year into alleged abuse involving the billions of dollars in U.S. and Iraqi funding to rebuild Iraq, so says an auditor's report. Slated to be released later today, the report says most allegations involve fraud, waste and abuse of funds, and 40% are linked to reprisals, thefts, and other issues. It says 75 cases have been closed or referred to other U.S. agencies, and 38 remain open. Senior Army contracting officer who had criticized the contract given to Halliburton had been subjected to a racist and sexist work environment, her former supervisor, a retired general, said in an affidavit by retired Lieutenant General Joe Ballard, demonstrated the integrity of Valentine Greenhouse, said her attorney Michael Cohn. Greenhouse, chief contracting officer for the Army Corps of Engineers, has charged that the Army showed favoritism to Halliburton, Vice President Dick Cheney's former company, and that she was frozen out of decisions affecting it. That work environment just made it that much more difficult for Ms. Greenhouse to take the action she took. She was under immense pressure to cave in, Cohn said on Sunday. Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Alawi yesterday made clear that he is not afraid to launch a military solution to the impasse in efforts to end the holdover of the city of Fallujah by Sunni insurgents. While the head of the interim government revealed his intolerance for the ongoing violence, the Sunni triangular city of Tikrit late Sunday was a scene of more violence. Rockets slammed into the Sunibar Hotel, killing 15 Iraqis and wounding some 8 others. Speculation has it that the insurgents were aiming at an American position, which was targeted by a second rocket. No American casualties were reported in the incident. And in Afghanistan, militants released a video yesterday showing 3 frightened foreign United Nations hostages that were pleading for their release, saying failure by the British government to remove their troops from Afghanistan will mean their deaths. They also requested the release of imprisoned Muslims in jails in the United States. Despite the crying of all 3 hostages, all look in good health and unharmed. You're listening to AIR, America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Master, I seek wisdom.
Ah, grasshopper. It is not wisdom you seek, for you have already found that which enlightens the mind.
No, I mean the number.
The number is infinite, my son. You have found Sirius. You have awoken your dormant spirit to the joy of satellite radio.
I'm just looking for wisdom.
Look no further, grasshopper.
Wisdom radio on Sirius, you know.
Oh,
132.
That'll do it.
Mind.
Body.
Spirit.
Earth. Serious.
Wisdom Radio.
132.
I'm Deborah Bird.
And I'm Joel Block for Earth and Sky Friday, October 29th. Since last June, as seen from across the Earth, a beautiful bright planet has been in the east before dawn. Venus outshines all other sky objects except the sun and moon. And now this bright beacon in the east before dawn has company. The planet Jupiter, fourth brightest sky object after the sun, moon, and Venus, is now back in the east before dawn.
Jupiter is still lower in the sky than Venus, but these two worlds will be getting closer together in the coming week as Jupiter ascends in the eastern pre-dawn sky. Venus is the second planet out in orbit around the sun. It orbits one step inward from Earth. It looks bright to us mainly because it's nearby, and because its surface is covered with highly reflective clouds.
Jupiter is the fifth planet out in orbit around the sun. It looks bright mainly because it's so huge. 11 planet Earths could fit side by side in front of Jupiter. Venus will remain in our eastern pre-dawn sky through the end of this year, but Jupiter won't stay in this part of the sky for long. If you watch, you'll see it move past Venus around the first week of November. By the end of November, Jupiter will be high above Venus before dawn.
Jupiter will be back in our evening sky by March of 2005. For today, that's our show. We have star charts at earthsky.org. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop. But I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, all you people that were listening. You know, I felt like there was so much more I wanted to talk to Bill Clinton about. President Clinton, I got him on the phone. We got to one question.
Yeah.
You know, but I'll tell you, the answer was beautiful. You know, it was educational. I was like mesmerized. You sort of want to sit down and talk for the entire day with that guy.
We're going to play that later on so the people who didn't have a chance to hear it can hear it.
And also,
he had some heavy stuff to say.
He did. And he did address the question. I'm always looking for, like, I want to indict Bush in the way that I want to do it, but he gave a very intelligent, beautiful answer on all the different levels and why Kerry is the right choice, and also, some of Bush's shortcomings in terms of the war on terror and the type of support the military is giving John Kerry compared to Bush. And also, a lot of people don't realize that, we only had an allotted amount of time, and, by the time we got the president on the phone, he'd come in a couple minutes after we thought he was going to come in, and then we were up against a hard out at the top of the hour, which we have to go to on network reasons, and he had to move on. That's the way these press junkets work, and I do wish that we had a few more minutes with him, but we didn't. But I'll tell you, I got a little buzz.
He's smooth. He's smooth, man. I'm telling you. And the thing is, he's talking to all these different people across the country. He's been across the country over the last week or so. This is a guy who, got up after heart surgery to do this.
And he sounds so good. He sounds so clear, and he sounds so focused. And I really, re-realized one of the great gifts of Clinton was that I'm sure everybody who was listening to that had the same experience I did, which was, he's talking to me. It's my buddy Bill Clinton's on the phone. He's talking to me. I know this guy. The familiarity, the candidness, the sort of connection that guy's capable of is really mind-blowing.
It's incredible. And I'll tell you, when it was on display And he didn't do it for publicity's sake, but it was certainly on display when he visited the place where the remains of the September 11th victims were being stored.
Mm-hmm.
He went there one day unannounced. Of course, he was a former president by then. And I saw some footage of him talking to some of the people who had gone there to claim, you know, the remains of their relatives, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I saw a woman break down in tears in Bill Clinton's arms. And you can't fake the kind of empathy that he obviously had with you, you know, with that woman and with other people. And this was not a press event. It was not something that he, you know, called, his people called up and said, Bill Clinton's going to be at the, they didn't do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
He just showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an incredible, incredible moment. This
yeah.
was a couple of days after September 11th, after they had established it. I think it was one of the armories on the east side.
Yeah, he definitely has an amazing capacity to open his heart and let the country walk in.
Yeah, really.
You know what I mean?
I'll tell you what, it wouldn't
yeah.
be me.
Yeah.
I'm figuring somebody stomped my heart on, in the process. But he really does, he has that ability to connect with the American people, which is why the Republicans were so afraid when they heard he was getting up and starting to go out with Kerry.
Yeah, well, you know, I heard somebody, a comic, make a joke that, you know, that that Clinton had to get out of his sick bed to go do this. And I think that's a mistake in how to look at that. I mean, you know, I think Clinton would have been with Kerry, you know, long before, hadn't, you know, he didn't plan to have the heart problem.
I would say no.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous to think of it that, like, you know, but you know what I love about doing this show is that, like, in conversation later in the day with people who may not listen to the show, I can now say, well, I was talking to President Clinton this morning, yeah.
And
you know,
he said...
Exactly. I do that all the time. Like, yeah, he
yeah.
said.
But then they start thinking you're a show off, and yeah. you know, because you talk to all of these people. I mean,
no, they don't. They go, "What? What are you talking about? You did not." I'm like, "No, I did. I talked to him on the phone. Yeah, I talked to I do that a lot, but not to drop names, just because like I can actually say that I talked to him on the phone this morning.
Oh yeah,
whether it's Peter Bergen or Paul Krugman or Howard Dean later. You know, it's nice to have a conversation with them, to talk to them.
That's right. We've got former Governor Howard Dean coming up in this hour.
Yeah,
and we're also going to talk polls because I know people's heads hurt about yeah. these polls and about who's doing what and where and is there, you know, are 20% of black Floridians going to vote for Bush? The answer to that, by the way, is I don't think so.
Yeah, right.
You know,
exactly.
I really don't think, and I even the people from the Joint Center, David Bisaitis, who I've known for a number of years, who did the study nationally about
yeah.
the black vote for Bush, said he didn't think Bush would get 18% of the black vote. He said it was possible that he'd get 18%. He thinks he'll get more than he got last time. But, you know, if he got 10%, he'd get more than he got last time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's tight, but I don't look at the polls anymore either. My buddy Phil in Los Angeles, he's, like, freaking out day to day looking at the polls. It's like Brendan P.W. McDonald, you know, actually said not too long ago, it's like, this is going, why do I keep saying it's like, that's like, stop it, I just noticed it. Do I say it all the time?
No.
Okay.
Like, no.
Okay, like, do I? You know, but he said, it's going to be tight. That's it. It's a tight race. It's going to be like this till the end. That's the way it is in the polls. End of story. It doesn't make any difference whether they go 2 points up here, 2 points up there. The undecided thing's going to close, and that's it. This
Turn
is where it's
out.
Going to be.
Turn out.
Absolutely. And again, any, you know, if you suspect anything going wrong in your polling place or you need to report something to somebody who can do something about it, 1-866-OUR-VOTE is the place to call. There are lawyers on duty everywhere. We might check in with my wife's friend Lauren, who flew from California to Florida to be a poll watcher.
Uh-huh. Oh, incredible. Now, you know, there's something else that people don't always take into account when it comes to these polls. Did you know, Mark, that 6% of the American people,
mm-hmm.
or let's put it this way, 6% of American adults
right.
have cell phones but no landlines? That
yeah.
means
I like
that they are not polled by anybody.
You can't
not by
it.
Gallup, not by Zogby. No, because in order to poll,
you gotta have the numbers.
You've gotta have the numbers, and remember that there is a law against you calling someone on a cell phone, which they have to pay for.
Yeah.
There's a difference between a landline. A landline is a free incoming call, not on a cell phone. So they are not allowed to call people on cell phones.
We actually did that. Yeah, Brendan and I were trying to do a bit where we were going to do a fake poll, but we never pulled it off because we would dial random numbers. And I got a cell phone once, and this woman like was in Tennessee or something. She's like, "Where'd you get this number? This is a private cell phone. Where'd you get this number?" And I'm like, "I just chose it out of the air." Well, you can't call. It was like,
yeah.
I don't know how pollsters do it, man. I mean, we tried to do a fake one, and I was crying within 5 calls.
Yeah. But when it comes to cell phones, they don't do it. And see, if half of that 6%, if 3% actually come out and vote, and 2 out of that 3% break for John Kerry, that's a significant number of people who were never polled during this entire election cycle.
And a lot of people think those people are young. That we're talking about mobile phone users who rely on mobile phones almost exclusively are the younger folks. And we just got something hot off the press. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, out foraging in the information underworld.
Yeah.
But this is not that esoteric. Polling from Zogby International and partner Rock the Vote found Massachusetts Senator John Kerry leading President Bush 55% to 40% among 18 to 29-year-old likely voters. That's something.
Yeah.
That's an impressive number. I mean, that's 15 points. That's not 2 points. That's not 3 points. That's a margin of error, this or that. That's a big margin.
Well, 6,000 voters is a large sample. Ask any of these pollsters, and we're going to have a pollster with us momentarily, Anna Greenberg. She'll tell you. 6,000 votes is a lot of 6,000 samples.
But this is all mobile phones. That's why this is important.
Yeah.
Why don't you read the rest of the story, Mark Maron? See how I'm talking to myself in the third person like some sort of wacko?
Where?
Yeah, so that was all on mobile phones. Yeah, we are going to talk to Anna Greenberg. Yes?
Yes.
Is
this
that right?
This was done exclusively on mobile phones October 27th through 30th. And, of course, the 30th was Saturday.
And she's a Democratic pollster, Anna Greenberg.
Yes.
She's going to really, you know, tell us what the final numbers is, what it means. As we head into the campaigns, we're going to have that after this. It's 14 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio.
Hey, want a T-shirt with me and Riley on it? Go to MorningSedition.com to check out our full line of Morning Sedition merchandise.
Hi, this is Al Franken, the host of the Al Franken Show on Air America Radio. For the last 6 months, we've been doing 3 hours a day of cutting-edge radio programming. We've had guests like Bill Clinton, John Kerry, and Strom Thurmond.
Yeah, Pekka, you know no bigotry.
We've covered events like the handover of power in Iraq. We've explained difficult concepts like the growing national debt using nothing more than an ordinary slide whistle. Now we're presenting our show in a convenient, easy-to-use, one-hour version every night on Sundance Channel. Finally, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. Right, Strom?
Yes, sir.
Tune in every night at 11:30 on Sundance Channel for the Al Franken Show. And if you don't get Sundance Channel, go to their website, sundancechannel.com. Al and Sundance Channel. Together again.
The great American media machine has broken down. Afraid of being tagged as liberal media, news outlets have dumped independent judgment and started regurgitating spin. Mainstream media is starting to admit they were bamboozled by the Bushies on Iraq, but that's just the start. While every serious scientist knows global warming is real, the press serves up partisan spin instead of reporting the facts. Some people say the climate is changing. Others say those folks are chicken littles. End of story. It's the same with recent voter suppression scandals. Republicans smothered Democratic votes nationwide by harassing citizens at the polls, trying to remove Dems from voter rolls, and trashing Democratic registration cards. But the media spends half their stories repeating false GOP claims of illegitimate Democratic voters. Repeating both parties' spin isn't a substitute for fact-checking or telling the truth. Mainstream media must stop acting as a megaphone for partisan noise machines, and the public should refuse to keep flying blind. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
On Sirius, we strive to bring you the best that the sports world has to offer.
Warm beer, high-priced tickets, and stale popcorn?
I don't think so.
Now on Saturdays, it's College Football Day, beginning with the kickoff show at 5 a.m. Sirius College Coaches Show at 9. A doubleheader of exciting game day action. And then we finish it with the ultimate post-game show, The Wrap-Up, hosted by Jerry Recco. From dawn to dusk, Saturday is College Sports Radio Day on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills, like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
If you think of a library as that place where shh is the only thing you hear, think again. Many are being forced to cut back hours, reduce services, even close their doors. The time to support your local library is now. Contact your library to find out how you can help keep the doors open. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. For more info, visit the American Library Association at www.ala.org.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hi, this is Stella from Rochester, New York. I'm voting for John Kerry because the Bush administration is out of control with greed and power. While they sit around rattling their sabers and playing masters of the universe, they're sacrificing our environment, our personal freedoms, our jobs and health care, and our troops for their personal gain. And worst of all, they use September 11th as an excuse to get away with it. Bush has got to go, and he will go. Thank you.
Hi, this is Richard in New Mexico. Bush and Cheney are not Republicans. They are right-wing extremists. They have no respect for the Constitution or the democratic process. That's why on November 2nd, this Republican is voting for John Kerry.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Hey, this is Cuba Gooding Sr.
This is Dominic.
This is J.C. Chazet, and there's one place in this country where you have all the power.
Where your voice counts.
Where you can make things change and make a difference. The voting booth.
Yo, yo, what's going on, America? It's your boy, Urban Mystic, and right now I'm encouraging everybody out there to go out and vote, guys.
It only takes a few minutes.
Your vote does make a difference.
Your vote counts.
Your vote.
Your vote counts.
It's your future.
Vote.
Vote.
Vote. We're serious.
We be serious.
Get serious about voting.
This is your wake-up call. That flag doesn't belong to any president. It doesn't belong to any ideology. It doesn't belong to any party. It belongs to all the American people.
It's not enough, my brother, to say that you have faith when there are no deeds. I am running for president because it's time to turn words into deeds and faith into action. I see jobs that need to be created. I see families that need to be housed. I see violence that needs to be stopped. I see children that need to be taught and children who need to be cared for.
You don't value families by kicking kids out of after-school programs and taking cops off the streets. We believe in the family value of caring for our children and protecting the neighborhoods where they walk and they play.
We have an important message for those who question the patriotism of Americans who offer a better direction for our country. Before wrapping themselves in the flag and shutting their eyes to the truth, they should remember that when Americans stand up and say America can do better, it is the heart and soul of patriotism.
That's right. Fire truck.
Yeah.
John Kerry's coming to save the day. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds good.
Sounds like Mighty Mouse.
He sounds good. He sounds good. And that's old stuff. I watched him on TV in New Hampshire yesterday. He had a nice build. Yeah, nice.
He's a great closer, man.
You know,
he's a great closer.
That turns out to be very true. You know, the clarity and focus and the sort of, momentum he's got speaking now. It's very impressive.
Yeah, it
really is.
It is.
Right now, Ramon dropped this off earlier wearing a Kerry mask. sort of interesting. Right.
I'm sorry.
With his Star of David. Here we go. Here's the president's schedule for today. 6:30 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Fear. Terror. Flip-flop. Secure. Good jobs. Secure. Terror. Flip terror. Flop secure. Help me. Jesus, I'm drowning. 7:30 a.m. Speaker rally. ABX Air Hangar, Wilmington, Ohio. Note, one last time in the flight suit with the Top Gun music, just like the good old days. 9:30 a.m. Speaker rally. Burgettstown, Pennsylvania. Note, say, you know what I told my staff? On the last day of the campaign, you make sure I'm in Burgettstown. 11:30 a.m. Speaker rally. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Note, say, today I'm coming to America's beer capital for business, but I'll be back on Thursday for pleasure. All right. 2 p.m. Speaker rally, Iowa State Fairgrounds, Des Moines, Iowa. Award blue ribbon to farmer who carved my entire administration in pumpkins. 4:10 p.m. Speaker rally, Sioux City, Iowa. Note, say, you know what I told my staff? On the last day of the campaign, you make sure I'm in Sioux City. 6:30 p.m. Speaker rally, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Note, tell them, God speaks to me, usually in Spanish. 10:10 p.m. Speaker Riley, Dallas, Texas. Note, wait for 20-minute ovation to die down. Say, I'm good, he's bad, stay scared. I'll protect you. Hook him horns. If you need me, I'll be back at the ranch. Bye. Then go to the ranch. 11:30 p.m., bedtime in Crawford. Think happy thought. No matter who wins, in 48 hours, I'm done working. That's the president's schedule for today. Now, on the phone, Democratic pollster and vice president of Greenberg, Quinlan Rosner Research, Anna Greenberg, good morning.
Good morning.
How
good morning.
Are you?
I'm great.
Yeah, are you? Do we all have reason to be great?
I think so.
Yeah, like why?
Well, I mean, I think that if you look at the polls for the last 2 weeks, the race has basically been stable. But in the last week or so, and especially over the weekend, Kerry has either tied it up or pulled slightly ahead, including in the Fox poll, which I take as the gold standard now. and if you look at the range of state polls, you've got him ahead in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Florida and Wisconsin and Minnesota, and I feel good about where this race is.
What's going on with this Nader growing support that I read on Zogby's poll?
Well, Zogby is a controversial pollster. People have a lot of issues with his surveys, and in fact, there's been some important analysis such as tracking polls that show that from day to day, there tends to not be a very high correlation between what's, there's no trend, in other words, that the variation is basically random. So I'm skeptical about his numbers. I do a lot of work on the Nader issue, and I've worked for the groups that are working against Nader, and his support nationally is about 1%.
It hasn't changed.
Going to get much more than that. No.
Yeah, okay. I sense a little pollster competition when I brought up Zogby.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Anna Greenberg, I saw some television over the weekend that hinted that in order to win the White House, John Kerry had to take two of the following three states, Pennsylvania, Florida, and Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
True?
Yes, it's true, in part because actually one of the places where Kerry's not doing as well as he should is Iowa, and Wisconsin looks pretty tough. If you look at the Ohio numbers, in fact, he has been leading in about five or six of the last polls there, and in Pennsylvania as well. So I feel confident he'll win both those states. In fact, it looks like when Bush goes to Ohio, his numbers go down.
That's so different.
Yeah, because they're reminded that he can't magically make them feel employed.
Exactly. Ohio's a different kind of state, and the way they felt job losses is just exponentially worse than any other state in the country.
And what about the boss factor? It seems that Springsteen actually bumped Kerry's numbers up in Wisconsin. Any truth to that?
Well, I'd like to think so.
The truth
is this electorate is so polarized around these candidates and know what they're doing that these sorts of things tend to have a pretty small impact.
Can I ask you something personal?
Sure.
When you go to parties and you're hanging out with friends and there's like maybe you're at a public thing when you have Republicans and Democrats, are you able to sort of, navigate that and just show them that what their numbers are in conversation?
Absolutely. I think the numbers don't lie, and a good pollster will be honest about what they think the numbers say. And I think, obviously there were times when Kerry was down, and I knew it, and I said it. And, I think that good pollsters are pretty honest about what they think the numbers say.
Okay, another interesting question, if you can entertain me for a minute.
Sure.
Is there any way that out of nowhere there will be this massive landslide that Kerry, it's just all these surprise numbers that you guys missed?
Well, the answer is yes, but not because there'll be surprise numbers, but because he's so close in so many states, for instance, like Iowa and Wisconsin, that he could have a very big electoral landslide. In other words, he could win Florida. I mean, the Gallup poll that came out this morning got him up in Florida. So he could have, while not a huge margin in the popular vote, he could have a big electoral victory because he ultimately wins Wisconsin, Iowa, Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, New Mexico, and New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's the difference, Anna Greenberg, between a, quote, Democratic pollster and a pollster?
Well, it's really more about who you work for and not about your methodology. So the political consulting world is divided up between people who work for Democrats and Republicans. So a Democratic pollster would only work for Democrats or progressive groups, wouldn't work for tobacco or those kinds of companies. But methodologically, if you're a good pollster, there shouldn't be any difference in how you conduct your surveys.
Right. So now, do you have any last-minute predictions? Is there going to be some sort of whoa?
Well, I just think turnout's going to be unprecedented. I think it is possible there could be electoral landslide. I think we'll probably know who's won on Wednesday.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That would be so great because I think I'm developing cancer.
we're all having anxiety attacks around here.
I'm sure, but this is the thing I don't understand about Democrats and progressives. Why they think Tide is losing? The number of people who have come up to me and said, "Do you think we can pull it out?" I said, "Tide is Tide. Tide's not losing. I don't understand this, why we think we're losing. We're actually borderline winning, and I don't understand that.
I'll explain it to you psychologically. It's we need to buffer ourselves for disappointment because we're sensitive.
Yeah.
The Republicans don't think that way.
I know, but they're very narrow-minded, and it's very easy.
Okay.
So you're going to stay with us, right, Anna?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute. We got some more questions for Anna Greenberg, and I guess we got Howard Dean coming
up. We got Howard Dean coming up as well, and Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Get those machine guns ready.
Okay.
This is Air America Radio.
Come along, follow me, as I lead through the darkness. I provide just enough spark that we need. Proceed, carry on, give me hope, give me strength. Come with me, and I won't steer you wrong. With your faith and your trust, as I guide us through the fog. To the light, at the end of the tunnel. We gon' fight, we gon' charge, we gon' start. We gon' march through the storm, we gon' march through the marsh. Take us right through the doors. Come on.
Hi, do you care about the environment and America's energy future? Now there's a new way you can take action. You can fight global warming and promote energy independence with Native Energy's Wind Builders program. You can offset the impact of your energy use, your home, your business, even your car, wherever you live, work, or learn. Sign up for Wind Builders and help build new wind farms that'll reduce global warming pollution. Join thousands of individuals and leading brands like Ben & Jerry's, Clif Bar, and Aveda, and favorite bands like REM and Dave Matthews Band, who are already fighting global warming with Native Energy. Join them and help build a new Native American wind farm for just pennies a day. Click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com or call 800-924-6826. That's 800-924-6826. Or click the Native Energy button on AirAmericaRadio.com. Help build a new Native American wind farm and fight global warming with Native Energy.
On Sirius, we strive to bring you the best that the sports world has to offer.
Warm beer, high-priced tickets, and stale popcorn?
I don't think so.
Now on Saturdays, it's College Football Day, beginning with the kickoff show at 5 a.m. Sirius College Coaches Show at 9. A doubleheader of exciting game day action. And then we finish it with the ultimate post-game show, The Wrap-Up, hosted by Jerry Recco. From dawn to dusk, Saturday is College Sports Radio Day on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Phil wants to know if he and his wife are ready to buy their first home. My advice after this is...
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should Phil and his wife buy their first home?
My wife and I are wanting to purchase a home. We've been married for a year, but we're debt-free with the exception of a school loan.
Cool.
We sat down, we talked about the mortgage, we think we can afford it, and then they bust PMI out on us.
And without a 20% down payment, you're going to have private mortgage insurance.
Is that every time the way around it?
No way around it.
Okay.
No way around it is a good way. I mean, there's other things you can do. There's people that are doing what are called 80-20 loans where they take out a second mortgage at a higher interest rate, and since the first mortgage is only 80%, then they don't charge a PMI, but the higher interest rate on the second mortgage offsets the fact you don't have PMI. So it's you know, you're swapping dollars. I'd take out the PMI. Just make sure you put it on a 15-year fixed and you pay it down as fast as you can pay it down.
No way we're going to be able to afford a home.
Then you need to wait. You don't need to buy a home on a 30-year mortgage. That's a dangerous thing. It goes on forever and ever, and the amount of interest you pay is just horrible.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Hi, this is Mandy Patinkin for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you're blind or unable to read because of physical impairment, we'll mail you free recorded selections from leading magazines on special speed cassettes. For 8 hours of great writing every other month, call 516-883-8280 or write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. That's 516-883-8280.
I had this great DJ spinning. She's dancing with this blonde chick, and we started hooking up, and I'm like, the party was at this huge house next to a lake. She was rolling, too. Her friend was having an after party, and they were like, come with us. Then she starts convulsing, and, call 911, call 911. And I'm like, this girl's shaking. Wheel her out, and she's got tubes and stuff, and we're all...
Ecstasy.
It can go bad in an instant. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah. Well, my dad, he can make corners come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can crush a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Send me something to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Four past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We're talking to Anna Greenberg in a second, but first this. It's the handover of power. We're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 126. Leaders of Iraq. Just one of you? There you go. Good morning. Now, you may have heard that Colin Powell said that the U.S. is losing this war. Yeah. Here's one or two things you should know about Colin Powell. Now, he might be a big cheese over here since the first Cold War, but at home, he's nobody. Yeah, yeah. So you're wondering how the Secretary of State can be nobody? Bush hired him not because he's a brilliant strategist and has a genuine grasp of world affairs, but because Bush wanted to appeal to black voters. I know. Good luck with that, right? If P. Diddy looked that good in a uniform, Bush would have picked him, right? Colin thought he was going to be a player. He didn't think that every time he opened his mouth, he would get double-teamed by Dick Cheney and Jesus. Jesus. Now, he's a player in this administration. So Colin was put on dirty work detail doing all the stuff Bush didn't want to do. Go to the UN. Go to Iraq. Anything requiring language skills. That's one other thing you should know about Colin Powell. He's smart. Dangerous smart. The kind of smart that makes people like Bush nervous. Yeah. So if a guy like Colin Powell says we're losing the war, then we're definitely losing the war. Except that when our commander-in-chief says that losing the war actually means we're not winning the war at this moment. But that could be subject to change when we start losing the war, which we are doing now. Losing. Got it? Good. No more questions. So good luck and God bless. This is day 126 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Live Free or Die. We're back with Democratic pollster Anna Greenberg, VP of Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research. You know, Anna, I was talking to President Clinton earlier, and you know, does that mean anything to you? Isn't that impressive?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we want to play this off you, but this is from a conversation I had with President Clinton. Did I mention that?
This election's come down to two things. It's tight as a tick, and nobody knows, and the polls are conflicting. Now, there's a reason for that. All these polls are right. The polls that show Bush ahead are right. The polls that show Kerry ahead are right. What do I mean by that? They accurately measure the people they call. But no one knows what the universe of voters is going to be. The elections come down to whether the Bush voters or the Kerry voters want to vote bad enough, which is why there have been a lot of Republican efforts to suppress the minority votes and poor people in various places around the country. I don't think they're going to work this time, but that's why they're trying to do it. They know that if, let's say, 85% of the Kerry voters want to vote, and 90% of the Bush voters want to vote, that Bush wins.
See, now, when President Clinton said that to me, all I was really thinking was like, wow, the president's talking to me.
So now,
so could you, do you think that Bush voters want to vote more than Kerry voters? I mean, what is he trying to say in your eyes?
Well, actually, what's interesting is there's some polls that show that Kerry voters are more likely to say that this election is important and matters to them than Bush voters. And I actually would argue there's more energy on the Kerry side. But Clinton's right in the sense that these polls do measure whoever they decide to talk to, and there are a lot of definitions of who a likely voter is, and that accounts for a lot of the variation among these polls. I think he's wrong in the sense that if you average all the polls that are being conducted at a given moment, you get a pretty accurate snapshot of where this country is, which is, as I said before, sort of tied with maybe a slight advantage for Kerry.
Would you say that if you were on the phone with him, though?
Yes. He's a smart guy. I'm sure he wouldn't mind having a debate about it. The one thing I didn't mention, which I think is important, is that if you look at the internals of the Gallup polls, the Washington Post poll, and our own polls,
uh-huh.
two really important issues. First, Kerry's ahead with independent voters.
Okay.
In Washington Post, Kerry's winning 51-44. He's also winning the battleground. It's incredibly important.
Well, that's good news. And also, apparently, he's doing real well with the younger folks, like 18, like the mobile phone users, that weird, elusive number that they were looking for.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that, Anna? Did we lose her? What happened?
I think we did.
Anna Greenberg was just here, and now she's gone.
Now she's gone.
I knew that, like, you know.
She's calling Bill Clinton.
But after I said that, because she's so, you know, sort of like, you know, talkative and everything, like, I said one thing, and all of a sudden, like, there was that moment where I'm like, what did I say wrong? Why isn't she responding to me? Why is she icing me? Like, I just said something inappropriate. What happened?
You didn't say anything inappropriate. She got cut off.
So what? Yeah, I know, but that was like, it's so weird how quickly my brain is sort of like, oh my God, why is she just leaving me hang on that? You know what I mean? Did I miss something? Am I Mr. Stupid Guy? Why is she, you know what? I'm sorry that we lost Anna Greenberg because she certainly is fun to talk to, but we will be back with Howard Dean. How does that grab you? 39 past the hour. It's Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
This is Mick Foley, professional wrestler and best-selling author, and you're listening to the two guys who give the right wing the smackdown. It's Mark Maron and Mark Riley with Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who have reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 800-921-BURN, and you could try Cortislim risk-free for 30 days. All you pay is shipping and handling. Call 800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN.
This year on Election Night, America will get some good news, some bad news, and some fake news. Watch Comedy Central's The Daily Show with Jon Stewart for live Indecision 2004 Election Night coverage.
I'm Jon Stewart. If you demand accurate projections, comprehensive updates, and in-depth analysis, you will be disappointed.
The Daily Show with Jon Stewart live Indecision 2004 Election Night coverage. Tomorrow at 10, 9 Central on Comedy Central.
And don't forget, it's an hour early. You're going to forget, aren't you?
Howard Stern in college football, NFL, the Weather Channel, BBC, it's getting late, and Stephen the Cheese at the gate, the Score TV, the music box, commercial free discovery, MLB and Patriot with nothing right to call the shots, Matt's infection, John McMullen, Laurie Ingram, Michael Reagan, Alex Bennett, Frank the Factor, Traffic Savage, Adam Pryor, Randy Rosen, NPR, there's comedy and all the stars.
Life is a rock, but the radio roll please. Turn your serious louder, so my DJ
Hey, this is G-Lo, and there's one place in this country where you have all the power, one place where your voice counts, where you can make things change, or make a difference, see, it's the voting booth, and it only takes a few minutes to register to vote, so what's your excuse? Get all the information you need at theheadcount.org, yeah, your vote counts, we're serious, check it out.
Speak out on Sirius.
Get serious about your vote.
Hey, America, this is Tim from Oklahoma City. I encourage everybody to get out and vote this year. It's an important election, and don't let anybody tell you who to vote for. Get out, educate yourself, and make your own choice. No matter what that choice is, just vote.
This is Austin from Black Island, Rhode Island. We must get serious about our voting coming up. We must vote for whoever it is we feel is the right one. I can't tell you who to vote for. So please, just make the right decision and vote for the lesser of two evils.
Hi, my name is Chris Blanton. I hope everybody realizes this is a very important election and understand their right to vote is not free. People have died for that right to vote for you. I want everybody to go out there and get informed, go out there and vote, exercise your right.
Tell us why this presidential election is important to you.
Call 1-877-33-SIRIUS and press 4.
To speak out on Sirius.
Hey, Mom, I'm going to a dance with some friends. Don't worry, I won't drink alcohol.
But the next day, I'll sleep a lot and not say much. Although a few days later...
I'll be back to my normal self, and you'll forget about it until...
The next weekend, I'm the same way. But this time, I don't get happy again.
You may not know much about the drug ecstasy, but your kids might. Talk to them about how E causes sleeplessness and depression, and may even damage parts of their brain, particularly parts that make them happy. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Yes, it's 44 past the hour. I am Mark Maron. That is Mark Riley.
Yes.
Get out there. Tomorrow's a big day. Do it. Vote. Come on. I know you're going to do it. Anyone who's listening to the show has got to be voting. Right?
Absolutely.
Got to be voting. If there's any problem.
Unless they're too young.
Huh?
Unless they're too young to vote.
No, don't let that stop you. You go and vote. You go into that.
12 to 17-year-olds, go with mom and dad.
I just had a weird flashback memory thing. Like that of going to vote with my mom and wanting to go in the booth and not being allowed to. Like wanting to go in with her.
I take my daughter in with me all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I let you?
Yeah.
Not this year, buddy.
They don't, oh, no, they'll let, they better. Or they'll tell her why. Believe me, my daughter does not take no for an answer when it comes time to exercising my franchise.
Man, there's going to be so many poll watches. There's going to be so many people just trying to be... Like what Clinton was saying, President Clinton, who I talked to earlier, if you're wondering. I talked to him on the phone. I was talking to ex-President Bill Clinton on the phone.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
What he's saying about how... He basically said that they are trying to dissuade people from voting. And
oh, yeah.
All sorts
he
of,
said yeah. Suppress.
Yeah.
That would be dissuade.
Yeah.
That would be a little shade beyond dissuade.
Yeah. Just be hyper aware. I mean, I've already, you know, gotten some complaints, you know.
We got a call from West Palm Beach saying that they were called, somebody was calling black citizens down there and saying they could vote over the phone.
But who takes it upon themselves to do that? Was that a dispatch from the Republican National Committee? How does that work? Do you know what
you
I mean?
Know,
I mean
you never
it,
know. I, see,
is that freelance goons doing that?
I think it's a network of people who act in concert, like they say in like on Law and Order and stuff.
Right.
You know, these are folks who are all acting toward a very specific goal.
Right.
And that goal is disenfranchising as many people as they possibly can who they think will vote for John Kerry.
And I'll tell you, if you've got some friends or you've got some family members who are thinking about voting for Bush and they're on the fence and you think you can push them over the other side to Kerry, you know, go to our website at morningsedition.com, get the 110 talking points that we put out, the 110 reasons why Bush must go has been very helpful to people. We're getting emails about it.
Yeah.
Also, I read the New Yorker's endorsement of John Kerry in this week's edition of the New Yorker magazine, which is a very elegant, articulate, you know, very, you know, clear, simple indictment of the Bush presidency. And
yes.
It's worth reading, and also that would be helpful if you want to try to argue with people. Now, obviously, some of these people, like we had a caller earlier, they're conspiratorially minded. They have a mystical paranoia. They will be prone to believing things that have no foundation in reality because a lot of people, you know, it's interesting that the religious mind, to have faith in something that, you know, is not been proven to exist, is very susceptible to to conspiracy thinking. But
yeah.
You know what? Oddly, as somebody who doesn't necessarily believe in God, I am susceptible to conspiracy thinking as well.
I know. But look, conspiracy or not, we are not going to change people's minds who sit there and say, Hillary Clinton killed JFK and I know because I know. I mean, what are you going to do?
That's crazy, man.
I know.
That's crazy because you can't have a articulate argument with that person.
Argument? You can't even have a conversation with somebody like that. I wouldn't.
I almost got in a fist fight. I told you about
yeah.
that. You know, it's all talking points, but not with this guest. He's going to tell us the truth. Governor Howard Dean is on the phone. Governor Dean, how are you?
I'm just great. How are you?
I'm pretty good, man. We're just trying to, you know, everything's very exciting right now. Are you freaking out at all?
It's going to be very close. The last two projections I had were 270 votes for Kerry and 268 for Bush.
Man, that is tight. I was talking to Bill Clinton earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he said it's going to be close, but he says that it's all a matter of the desire to get out there and vote.
That's right. The thing I think is in our favor is the people who are favoring Kerry really, really, really want to vote, really want to change. And I think some of the folks are enthusiastic about Bush, but a lot of it's just, stay the course. I think some of his votes are going to stay home.
Did you see that Bin Laden tape?
I did.
Now, to me, I'm watching the news, all right? I'm seeing the president on the news say, we're going to get them where they hide, and then you cut to in the same news forecast, hey, there's Bin Laden on the same show as you.
Yeah, I don't think that helped. I don't think that helped the president. Just kind of reminded everybody what an incompetent he is.
Exactly. That's what I thought. There's no other way to look at that unless you're crazy.
What this guy's got is a genial smile and a nice, way about him in public, and that's about it. He's the most incompetent chief executive we've had since Warren Harding.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Governor Dean, you've been to important swing states like Ohio and Pennsylvania.
And South Carolina and Michigan.
There you go. Well, I'm curious because, there was a study done by the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies that hinted that Bush could get as much as 18% of the black vote. Now, I'm wondering, in states with large black populations like Pennsylvania and Ohio, whether you saw that as being possible.
No, I don't. I think that's wishful thinking. I think there's some conservative African-American pastors, because of their very anti-gay, who are going to try to talk about that. But I don't think the African-American population in this country is ready to embrace George Bush's economic vision and his hatred of government because of, the anti-gay stuff. I really don't think so.
And don't you find, too, that a lot of black voters are just, so they almost are voting with a vengeance because of the evidence of, the suppression
right.
of the vote in Florida?
The Republican Party is not an African-American's friend, and they know that, and I'd be very surprised if George Bush got more than about 10% of the African-American vote.
And do you think also that all this story outside of the Bin Laden tape, which, of course, to people on our side, looks like an indication of his failure in that department, how about the loss of weapons in Iraq and just the idea that there wasn't ever a strategy to begin with? Do you think that's playing hard on him as well?
Well, in general, the president has made his case that he's the one that can take care of America if there's a big terrorist problem. And I think his case isn't a very good one.
Right.
He went into Iraq and made Iraq much more dangerous than otherwise. He's been trying to connect Iraq with terrorism, which isn't true.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's going to be close. I think in the end, the one thing that I think that we can say, in addition to the turnout situation, I
yeah.
think with President Clinton on that one, is that I think when people get into the booth, if they're wavering at all, their job prospects and their prospects for their kids are going to have a bigger impact than the polling shows.
Right.
And I don't care what the president says about how great the economy is. For ordinary working people in this country, the economy is not better. In fact, it's worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're pessimistic about it, and they know that they can't trust George Bush to manage the economy because he only cares about people who make $1 million a year. So I think in the end, the tie goes to Kerry.
Governor Dean, you managed to mobilize a large segment of the American voting population that was maybe a little bit ambivalent about politics. Do you think there's going to be a long-term impact of that mobilizing? Obviously, you raised a lot of money on the Internet. A lot of candidates hadn't done that before. You managed to certainly engender a tremendous amount of enthusiasm. Will that enthusiasm dissipate after Tuesday?
I don't think so. I think we need to remake the Democratic Party. This election is the first step of that. We got Democrats who got to stand up and be Democrats again. We can't run away from who we are and what we believe in. We do not believe the same things the Republicans believe in. We believe everybody ought to have health insurance. We believe that minimum wage ought to be higher than it is. We believe that the country ought to be run for the benefit of the people who live here, not for the biggest corporations in the world. Those are fundamental differences between us and the Republicans. And you ought not to be afraid of saying so. So I think if we're victorious tomorrow, that you're going to see a continued effort to keep these folks mobilized. We can't win without all these people that were not previously interested in politics, and we're not going to win the next election unless we have them too. So we got to keep them in the fold, and that means we got to really make good on on our promises about really changing the country.
Governor, you were, during the time you ran, four square against the invasion of Iraq. Do you see any way that John Kerry, should he be victorious tomorrow, can get the troops out without being seen as abandoning the mission there?
No, I think he has to. First of all, we can't abandon the mission there. If we do, the President Bush has created a serious national security problem for America, which we didn't have before. Now, whether we can blame him or not is beside the point. We've got to deal with it. So we will deal with it. But what John Kerry has said is he'll have the troops out by the end of his first term, and I think that's the right approach.
Let me ask you a question. Just and just your psychological instincts on this. Why is it that so many people that are under economic hardships and that clearly are victims of Republican policy are still rallying around Bush? I mean, is it fear? Is it what do you make of those people?
Well, first of all, they like Bush. Bush is kind of an American caricature. I mean, he's got that swagger. He's got that in-your-face kind of stuff. People
right.
like that in this country. Second of all, they want to believe the president. The president's got the best propaganda machine since Vladimir Lenin.
Yeah, that's for sure.
He gives great speeches. Not a word is true.
Right.
But it's very convincing.
Right.
And if you don't read the paper every day, 80% of the people who watch Fox News, which is another great propaganda outlet,
sure.
even though hardly a word is true, 80% of the people who watch Fox News actually believe that Iraq had something to do with 9/11.
Right,
totally untrue. The 9/11 Commission, bipartisan commission, led by a Republican, says it's not true. But the Fox News keeps repeating this nonsense, and people believe it. So that's why the election is so close. On the merits, George Bush would be out of here with about 35% of the vote.
He's done nothing. I mean, it's unbelievable.
He's done worse than nothing.
Right, exactly. Now, Kerry,
fiscal policy, imagine $500 billion deficit from a Republican president. Who ever thought we'd see the day where that happened?
Oh, my. He's trying to bankrupt the country, so they have no choice but to privatize everything.
I think he's trying to bankrupt the country because he's completely inept.
Good. I'd rather that than it be just just something he's decided upon. And, what I mean? And Kerry, you got to be impressed on some level. Just that, everyone always was saying that he knows how to close well. And he's a big closer. He really has pulled
his
message together,
job,
and he's very focused.
Since Labor Day, I think he's gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. I've been listening to his speeches the last couple of days. I think he's just doing a great job.
Yeah.
Governor Dean, come tomorrow, there are going to be people in places like Florida, in places like Ohio, that are going to be concerned about whether or not their vote will actually count. How do you see the Democrats and the Kerry campaign assuring every voter that gets to the polls that their votes will in fact be counted?
You can't assure them, but we have vote protection going on. All over the country, we have people watching the polls to make sure the Republicans don't do what they did the last time, which is to repress the vote, try to intimidate African Americans. We know they already have. They assume African Americans vote 90% for the Democrats, so they do everything they can to prevent African Americans from voting. It's just like the old Jim Crow days. Instead of doing it legally, though, they do things like say, we're going to check your credit rating if you come to the polls. We're going to all this kind of stuff, and you better, watch out. We're going to have somebody inspect your bags and all this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's what they do. So we have, people at the polls to make sure that stuff doesn't go on. It's just like the old civil rights days. We have people to prevent voters from being intimidated.
Thank God. That's me. God forbid, Bush wins, Governor Dean. Will you be available for grief counseling?
Well, we're going to do a lot more. This time we're not going to have any grief counseling. This time we're going to take to the barricades. I mean, we're really going to fight back.
And go after local government and get it back.
Well, we're going to go after local governments and try to rebuild from the ground up. We're going to fight Bush immediately on his ridiculous financial improprieties and the Halliburton stuff.
Okay.
This time we are not going to back off. That was a terrible mistake we made the last time.
Well, thank you so much. It's always great to talk to you.
Appreciate it, Governor.
Thanks, guys.
You take care.
Take care.
That was Howard Dean. That was great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. I'm hanging out. I talked to Bill Clinton earlier. And, Howard Dean, when I was on the phone with Howard Dean earlier today, we talked about...
Who?
Yeah.
You didn't talk to Howard Dean.
And now Barbara Streisand is sending us the facts of the liberal agenda for today. Here are your marching orders for today. One, try not to spend the day weeping and shrieking at strangers. Could you do that? Two, collect all leftover Bush masks from Halloween to create huge art installation swastika at Lincoln Memorial.
Wow.
Three, call Pixar. Have them digitally insert Bush and Cheney into Bin Laden video. Call it director's cut. Four, see if you can get Bill Clinton to come on your morning talk show. That's interesting because I was talking to Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Five, today's phrase, just drop it in the conversation, quote, this is the, wait, I got to sing it. This is the dawning of the age of Icarus. Nothing? Anybody? Icarus? Get it? Okay, all right, I'm stressed out. Anyone got a Xanax?
Uh-oh.
What do we got tomorrow? Anything?
Hey, we got plenty
election
tomorrow.
Day!
It's election day. We're going to have all the information about what's going on as the polls open. So remember, get up early, listen to us, go vote, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, Marin.
You too, Riley. See you tomorrow.